about you gotta put it in perspective.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hot Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars. Give me the Star Wars.
Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars. Give me the Star Wars.
What is the attraction of Star Wars? Who can say?
I have never seen Star Wars because I was too busy hooking up with guys, unlike you losers.
And now...
Hey, Ali, seeing how much you love Star Wars, I was just curious. Mind if I put my lightsaber in your dark side? You want? What do you think? Dark side, you know.
Our feature presentation.
This is why you fail.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday. It's 4th of May, so may the 4th be with you.
And why also you, with you, Kevin.
Why do you say it like that? Why do you have to dump on Star Wars Day?
Well, not only that, what did you do when you walked in?
Well, I mean, normally I have a little Kylo Ren doll and I play a little saying for you. And,
every single day.
Right.
And it's what I look forward to every day.
No, it isn't, first of all. And second of all, I was a little late.
Uh-huh.
So I had things to
what?
Do.
Right?
I know,
what?
Right?
You were a little late today?
Shocking.
So wait, are you telling me that 100 days in a row Kevin walked in with the Kylo Ren and today he didn't on Star Wars Day?
On Star Wars Day. And I took it as a slap in the face.
That's just being contrary for the sake of being contrary.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Or I was a little late.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. My bad.
That's how we know Kevin is here, is when we hear Kylo Ren's voice in our
heads. Exactly.
That's his announcement when he walks through the door. So
it's just upsetting.
It is Star Wars Day and I'm very excited about talking to Boba Fett today. I got to be honest.
I feel it, too.
That's a little dull.
Okay.
I've been waiting for this day for a long time. I'm immune to the light. Don't fight it.
That's it.
See?
Really?
Wouldn't
cut,
you look forward to
through.
That every day?
It really does.
Cuts
through. Yeah. Great sound. Great volume.
Yeah, it overwhelmed the show. Hey, we have a thing, but before the thing, here's an update on another thing. Remember when we were talking about the sports reporter in Nashville who got fired from the TV?
Yes.
Yes.
Because he did his tribute to Prince, where he worked as many Prince song titles as he could into his sports report, and then he was fired afterwards, and people were outraged, and he put on his Facebook page, this is why he got fired, blah. And I agreed, by the way, that firing him was the wrong move.
Mm-hmm.
It was a terrible report. He did it badly. But I think his intent was positive. I don't think
he have any idea what his intent was.
Well, I mean, I think it's more logical that he was trying to pay tribute to Prince than he was trying to embarrass himself and the station. So he got fired, and a lot of his fans, because he'd been working there for over 10 years, were like, hey, that's a raw deal. What's up with that? Well, now there's new news on the story, and it appears that that was not why he got fired.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
It appears that something else had happened that same week, and then the Prince thing that did seem a little off-putting to some was the excuse that they needed to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
They were doing a Facebook Live, what they call a fishbowl broadcast. This is where they do something just for their Facebook fans, as we do sometimes on the Kevin DeBean Show, something that's not on the broadcast air. And in this one, the personnel in the newsroom are asked to pick a question out of the bowl and answer it for the live viewing audience. Right. I don't know whether they invite the audience to send in those questions or where those questions come from, but this would be somebody in the newsroom who says, all right, I'm going to answer a question for you on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. So he didn't want to participate in this. This sports reporter did not want to participate in this. So he told the woman who was running the Facebook Live fishbowl questionnaire, you better not effing come in my office with that. F you, F you. This was on the Facebook Live broadcast as she walked into the office.
Wow.
Then he told the rest of the staff, I effing told her that would happen if she came into my office. So
he did give her a heads up.
Right. But he also knew that they were sending this out to the Facebook users of the radio, of the television station. So clearly, that's not how you want to behave in front of the cameras and use that kind of language, right? So at the conclusion of the broadcast, the video was immediately deleted. But it was that meltdown that apparently is what led to them. Who knows? Maybe they warned him and said, do things our way, be on the straight and narrow. And then he went off and did the Prince thing. And then that was too much. So
somebody in the room was going, are you kidding me? I just talked to him for a half hour yesterday.
Right. So anyway, so as we suspected, there was more going on to that than just the Prince thing hit people the wrong way. So
yeah,
it sounds like that's the deal there. So that
So that's the thing before the thing?
That's the thing before the thing,
okay.
Yes.
Okay,
all right, now, here's the thing. All right. Kevin, you're going to love this thing so much because, A, it happens in Mesa, Arizona, very close to where you grew up, and, B, it involves a guy who I imagine you would have done the exact same thing had you thought of it in your high school yearbook photo. He's on the football team. He plays for Red Mountain High School football team. His name is Hunter Osborne. He is 19, and that is a significant age when you find out that he was dared by a teammate to expose his penis during the football team's team photo.
Just the tip, Kevin.
So he's standing.
Can't tell you how many times I've heard that.
He's standing in the if I remember correctly, in the second row of the photos, and the football players are standing in front of him, stand just a little bit further apart than they might ordinarily, so because they're in on it and they know that this is what he's going to try to do. So his penis is in the school photo. Okay?
Penis,
right? So it goes into the yearbook, and who looks for things like that in the yearbook? And the yearbook gets printed, and the yearbook gets published.
Let me just butt in here. There's a yearbook staff. There's somebody that puts it together, and their job is to look for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So if they
I
should
was
be...
on the yearbook staff.
Good point.
That shows you how seriously they take it. Look, you see a photo of 59 football players standing in formation, and
yeah,
you're not
you
with a you're not with a magnifying glass. I mean, you think you see everything.
Poor guy. Him.
Magnifying glass.
You think you see everything that's in the photo without looking too closely. Anyway, so he was when it was revealed, the yearbooks were recalled, and they're going to reprint. He was arrested and charged with indecent exposure. 69, no pun intended, 69 counts of indecent exposure because there were 59 football players in the photo and 10 adults also. So 69 counts of indecent exposure.
Wait a minute. So,
oh, no,
because
wait,
he,
there's
because
more.
Because he took out his penis in front of all those people, Kevin.
But all of those people saw it? I thought he was in the second row behind some
people. He was.
People?
They didn't see it. Huh. They didn't see
okay.
it. So what do you want to add to that, Allie?
Well, oh yeah,
but because he's 19, he was mm-hmm. also charged with something else because it was in the yearbook. He was exposing himself to all those minors that could be looking
okay.
as well.
Okay,
so there was another count.
So that seems bad.
Yeah.
Yes, furnishing harmful items to minors because the photograph was in. Now look, I don't know anything about Hunter Osborne.
You know his penis is bad though. You know that
he's probably not a bad kid.
He needs a microscope.
But because he's 19, is he now going to be labeled a sex offender for the rest of his life?
Yeah, he might have to actually,
register.
Every time he tries to get a job, he's a registered sex offender. This is the most absurd thing
wow.
ever. It's absurd.
It seems absurd.
That school should be ashamed.
They should do something, but not.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Come on.
It doesn't seem like the police need to be involved in this.
No.
It seems like maybe he has to do community service or he has to be after school for the semester or something. But it does seem like you don't ruin his life because of, frankly, a pretty bitchin' idea. Right?
I think we also need to tackle why he's 19 at the start of the school year. I think that's something we
football.
Should.
Oh, yeah, football.
Yeah,
football. He probably is repeating grade 11 or something. It's one of those kind of deals. So anyway, we'll keep our eyes peeled on Hunter Osborne and find out what happens next.
But
I hope it works out for him.
And I'm not saying I looked at the picture, but I was trying to figure out if he's in the second row, how it would be in the picture at all. Because he's literally behind someone.
Oh, straight
well, they,
behind? Because Ben said they separated a little
They separated.
Bit.
Yeah, the two guys who would have been in front of him moved apart a little bit so that you could see what was going on him.
I guess I didn't see the same picture.
No. Yeah. Allie was going on a deep dive on this story.
I had on a monocle. And
making sure you had all the facts. That's what you're all about. Right.
Research.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
At best, you're an underachiever at a local radio station, often a drunk underachiever.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty accurate. On the program today, we're going to talk to Jeremy Bullock. You may not know that name, but you probably know the name of Boba Fett.
Yay!
There's a documentary about some of the people behind, not behind the scenes, but sort of the secondary, not even secondary, third, fourth, fifth level. I don't know.
You want another run at that?
No.
Okay.
I'm good. I think I'll just do it worse next time. So we're going to talk to Jeremy today about that. Very excited. We also are going to talk about tattoo mistakes. Donald Trump is gold.
Wow.
Continues to be gold. There's a serial pooper in Ohio. That's a thing that people are having to deal with. That makes me laugh. We have Chris Martin from Coldplay.
What? Wow. Chris Martin?
Chris Martin, yes, at 9 o'clock this morning. We're going to do that on Facebook Live. And we also have tickets for the sold-out K-Rockaweenie Roast 2016. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hi.
It's Wednesday, man. What's going on?
Yeah, right? Wednesday.
Right. Wednesday.
His name is Carl Wednesday. He's a private eye. When you're in trouble, it's Wednesday.
Come on. I can have a lot of ideas for TV shows.
Sell any show.
You really do.
Give me a word, a phrase, a name, boom. I can write you a show.
Microfiche.
Microfiche. No one uses it anymore. Except Danny Microfiche. The man who created it is now uploading it to people's brains. It's Microfiche 2.0. Brain Invader.
Maybe I won't watch that one.
I'll watch it.
Come on, Microfiche. Brain
Invader. But I'm watching It's Wednesday, I'll tell you that.
Sci-fi. All right, let's take a look at showbiz news. But first, let me give you a little something for being up this early. I'm sorry that you have to be up this early. Trust me, I know the pain. I cry a little bit every time my alarm goes off every morning. I have for years. So I feel your pain, people out there listening to us. And you compound it by listening to us. At least I don't have to listen to us when I wake up this early. I just have to be us.
So you're saying that's a bad choice for
it's
them?
Horrible.
Yeah.
So let me give you something to take the sting out a little bit. How about passes to a very special K-Rock advance screening of a movie called Money Monster? It's a new George Clooney film. Also stars Julia Roberts. Directed by the lovely and talented Jodie Foster. Basic premise is, you know, Jim Cramer on, was it MSNBC? What show?
I think so, yeah.
Squawk Box or something?
It's Cash Talk or something. He's got something. Where he's a big, very bombastic, Mad Money, I think it's called. Where he's a bombastic investment guy who tells you all about what stocks you should buy and whatnot. And so Clooney plays a guy who's very similar to that, who has gave a stock tip, and a guy put all his money into it, and it tanked, and he holds him accountable, and he's ticked off, and he holds him hostage on live television.
Like you do.
Money Monster is in theaters everywhere on May 13th, but the advanced screening is going to be on the 11th at the Arclight Hollywood, one of my favorite places to see a motion picture. So if you'd like to see an advanced screening of Money Monster, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number. Get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Money Monster. He's a monster made out of money. He's the Money Monster. Speaking of Jodie Foster, director of Money Monster, she's getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning.
What a coincidence.
I'm sure they're unrelated, Bean.
Oh, sorry.
It's not how the Hollywood Walk of Fame works.
It's not just a promotional vehicle for movie studios?
You douche.
Bean. They're on the up and up.
Okay.
They do good work.
This is why they hate you. This is why they hate you, too. Because of this snark. Because of snark.
I didn't know how much they hated you until that luncheon a couple weeks ago.
So much.
I didn't know how much they hated us until then.
Sure carry a grudge, don't they?
Sure hold on to that.
I think
they don't have to carry a grudge because you renew it every time you open your mouth about them for 20 years.
It's been a while.
You've done nothing but talk smack about that fine institution. So they don't need to hold the grudge because you keep handing them the grudge on a regular basis. And you're horrible people.
I think it was when Rick Dees got his star. That was what started it for us when we started making fun of it.
Well, no longer because Jodie Foster's getting a star. You think there's anyone deserves a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame more than Jodie Foster?
Yeah, I'm really surprised she didn't have one already.
Mm-hmm. Movie star, director. I mean, she's been famous, just her whole life. That's all. It's happening today at noon in front of the TLC Chinese Theater. Wow, she's got a good location. That's pretty sweet ass right there. Kristen Stewart will be on hand to speak at the dedication.
Yes.
Kristen Stewart is a powerful public speaker, Kevin. I won't have you say otherwise.
I need a nap. I'm going to go over this.
Why do you think? Why do you think Kristen Stewart is speaking, Kevin? Why do you think?
She was in a movie that Jodie Foster directed.
Wow!
Wow!
That's right.
She got her big break in Panic Room, playing Jodie's young, very young daughter in that film. That was Kristen Stewart's big break.
I did not realize that was her.
Well, and she was really good in it, too.
She was really good in it. Yeah.
I need a Panic Room.
Yes, you do. And Black China.
Sex tape.
Yeah, we're still waiting on that. But she says now also you have to be careful of who you share your home with. Her home was burglarized. Someone stole $200,000 in cash and jewelry from her personal safe. And she thinks it was a bitter ex-friend who had access to her home who's jealous of her new life and relationship with Rob Kardashian. Which begs the question, how does Blac Chyna have $200,000 in cash and jewelry in her personal safe?
That's all I was thinking.
Does she do anything ever? Have you ever known her to do something?
No.
I see she gets her pictures taken a lot, right?
Is she a model?
I don't know. Is she a singer? Or a rapper? I don't know.
I don't think she is any of that.
She's just Tyga's baby's mom?
Right.
That's it?
Is there much money in baby mommying?
Says here that she is a model and entrepreneur.
Oh, entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. It's a new socks. You want to buy my socks?
No, that's
my
Rob.
New sock line? Oh, that's Rob.
Yeah.
Oh. Entrepreneur. What does that mean?
What else, Pete?
Has she been in front of the Shark Tank people with her new idea?
She went to makeup artist school. She launched her online boutique. Let's see. She purchased a beauty bar in Encino, Los Angeles, offering makeup courses. She also opened Lashed Bar, so apparently she's heavy into beauty products, eyelashes, eyelash extensions, things like that.
Hmm.
Wow. 200 grand in cash
sitting in her safe at her house. This isn't her bank account.
Right?
Wow.
This is the petty cash. This is the mad money. This is the milk money.
Wow.
There's a lot of money in eyelashes apparently.
Yeah, so, there is.
I'm gonna lash out.
A lot of us look like fetuses. Really need those. I'm talking about myself.
Yeah.
We're all having a good time there.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I just want to give you an update on Becky with the good hair.
Yes.
Yes.
We're staying on top of this story. I don't want anyone to miss out.
We have a full-time Becky correspondent that's working on it. Okay.
It's Becky Gate. It's Becky-geddon 2016. Becky is not, I repeat, not Rita Ora.
Okay.
We've done a little research.
So Beyonce has come out and said that?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The singer took a selfie with Beyonce last Monday night at the Met Gala in New York City, then posted the shot on Snapchat. Added the caption, family. As if that wasn't enough, she hit up an after party in a shiny pleather dress with a name tag on it that read, Not Becky. Not Becky. So, the world still wondering this morning, who is Becky with the good hair?
Allie, are you going to keep your crazy Becky theory to yourself when that woman's ex-husband appears later today?
As soon as he walks in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
As soon as he walks in.
Go. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Nope.
Of course not.
You're just going to jump up and go, is your ex-wife Becky?
Listen.
Nope.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
No.
Nope.
I don't think she's Becky.
Good.
Really? Because it was your idea.
No, it wasn't my idea. It was the internet's idea.
You sure sold it.
The internet.
You sure sold it.
There's no bad ideas on the internet.
I hate that guy, the internet.
Sometimes he's wrong.
This fall, it's Becky with the good hair. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ashley Rickards, Jenna from Awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's 24. Lance Bass is 37. Is he in space yet? Has he been in
the... No, I don't think he's gone.
No.
Liar. Erin Andrews, she's 38.
I think you're really good at what you do. How do you feel about how the game went?
Can't take that voice. It's killer. Mike Durnt. Green Day bassist, 44 years old. Will Arnett, soon to be heard as Batman in the Lego movie of the same name, is 46 years old. And surf guitar legend Dick Dale. Are you a fan of the surf guitar, Kevin? You like the sound of the surf guitar?
It's all right.
It's one of my favorite popular music inventions. Right. I love the surf guitar sound. Dick Dale, probably best known, I would say, Miserloo Bean? Is that what you're thinking? That was his big hit?
Absolutely.
And you hear it all day.
thank Quentin Tarantino for bringing it back for a whole new generation 20 years ago. Guy is playing this on a guitar, by the way. I want you to think about how talented he is.
Sure wish we had the hook.
That's not the good part of the song.
Intro. There we go, there we go.
Well, I didn't have much heads up you needed it, so I just really went to YouTube. Anyway, that's Dick Dale from 1963
sure
in Miserloo.
Dick Dale and the Whale, the rare wax cylinder recording of Miserloo. We'll have a better one later. Well, I promise you. Because I try to improve each and every hour when I do the show.
Since when?
Oh, shut up, Kevin. People don't know. Play along. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I was thinking about how great it's been this spring to have so much new music on K-Rock. That's all been great. A couple weeks ago, we had Garbage come by with their new song, which is outstanding. Last week, the guys from Blink 182 were here with their new song, which is great. Tomorrow, I think we have new Red Hot Chili Peppers music, first song in a number of years. And we may be talking to somebody from the band about that as well. So new Chili Peppers, long awaited. That's tomorrow. And of course, as Kevin mentioned, win tickets to see them at the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016. Two chances to win coming up before the end of today's show.
We all have our strengths and weaknesses, right? Some of us are better at some things, not good at other things. Bean's very intelligent, very funny. Bean is not cool.
How
right
dare you?
When you hear someone say that guy is cool, do you think Bean?
Not at first.
Okay.
No.
So we were having a conversation and we were talking about, I think it was when we were talking about old people and who was going to die next or whatever, the death pool. And Bean said, I want to live forever, first of all.
Well, nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to have as much time on Earth as possible. Life goes by quickly.
I don't want to live anywhere near forever at all. I'm good maybe 85.
So then Bean pulls out, I'm going to be the coolest 100-year-old ever.
Oh.
Okay.
So what point between now and when you turn 100 are you going to flip the switch on being cool?
All right. I am not disagreeing with you that I am not cool now.
Right.
I'm not claiming to be cool now.
Okay.
But here's what I'm saying is the older I get, I think the cooler I will be because more and more young people will be impressed with how current I am. You see what I'm saying?
Like, oh, I hear what you're saying, but it's just painfully wrong.
Like, it's not a big deal if a 30-year-old knows what a 15-year-old is into, but if a 50-year-old knows what a 15-year-old is, that's a surprise. When a 75-year-old knows what a 15-year-old is, now you're like, what's up with this old man?
What's up with that creep?
No, I'm not saying creepy. I'm talking about like music and TV and things like that. So when I'm 100. If I'm talking to some teenager about the new Beyonce album, all of a sudden,
what are you hanging out at schools? What's happening?
He just said, "'Cause I'm cool."
No teenager is going to go. You know what? That guy's 100, but he sure is current.
But I think they will because everybody Everybody loves old. Look, when we see these reports of the people who turn 100 and they're on the news, when they're interviewed, they're so cute and they're so funny, and if they are down with what's going on, you're really like you're attracted to them because you think they're awesome.
No, sir.
Not attracted to them like that, Allie. I'm just saying there's something about old people that are dialed in that is surprising and delightful, and I'm going to be surprising and delightful.
I love this so much.
Well, I thought maybe today we would check on that because we do have a future phone.
What?
So we are able to actually place a call. To future Bean.
Are you kidding me? We're going to talk to me in the future.
Thank you for clarifying. Future Bean, are you there?
Hello?
Oh,
hi, is this
Bean.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 100 years old.
100 years old. Okay, perfect.
And I'm so cool.
Yes, thank you. That's all we needed to know. Thank you for talking
to us.
How
exactly are you cool, well, Future Bean?
Well, you know, the teenagers love when I hang out with them.
And where do you hang out with them?
Well, I usually get in my hover chair, and I just go by the schoolyards because I'm selling ice cream these days.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, nope.
I inherited an ice cream cart from an old friend.
What was the old friend's name?
It's so long now, it's hard to remember.
Was it Al Jessup?
That was the name.
Yes, how about that? How about that?
I've spent my time between that and my chocolate milk museum. All the kids come by to see ancient samples of chocolate milk.
You're saying all the kids come by to see that?
Yeah, there's some kids now. Hi, kids, how are you? Let's all hang out.
Oh, get away.
Hey, kids. Hey, but I'm cool.
Get away.
Oh, come on, kids.
They just don't know, Future Bean.
No, they don't know. You know, ever since I lost my job on the radio, it's been hard to hang out with the kids.
Mm. Oh, how did that happen, Future Me? I'm very concerned about that.
I was fired after my pun-filled weathercast tribute to the death of Taylor Swift.
Oh, well, you can't blame me. I was probably pretty upset.
Oh, I couldn't believe people got upset at my hilarious pun-filled tribute. I said, oh, there's a cold front coming in. I hope we can shake it off before the weekend.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, this weather system sure has some bad blood, doesn't it? I knew it was trouble before it even got started. The sunny days, you belonged with me.
That's hilarious now. It'll be hilarious then, Future Me.
Hey, kids, what did you think of that? Pretty funny, huh?
No, get away.
Come on. Let's hang out.
Terrible.
Oh, that shit went over like the Zika virus in a box of Mike and Ike's.
I don't even know what that means.
That's a bad example, I guess. But I was like a palm tree frond on a magnetic bullet train track.
What are you talking about?
He's keeping up the bad examples.
I guess that's not a great example. This reminds me of when I lost my job as a security guard at the sorority house.
You were a security guard at a sorority house?
Yes. By the way, it's not illegal to have your pockets filled with zip ties and codeine lozenges.
Oh, man.
Hey, kids. What do you say? Would you like some ice cream?
No! No way!
Come on!
Stop it.
It's in my pants.
Oh, come on! So, the serial pooper is back.
Is it just one that moves around the country, or...?
That's my theory. There's really? One guy who really gets off on serial pooping. And I know you're going to tell us the latest from this guy in Ohio, but there's the ongoing serial pooper at the golf course in Norway. That's still happening.
Sure.
There's a swimming pool, I think, in New Zealand where somebody once a week for the last 3 weeks has dropped a deuce in the pool.
No, then they have to get rid of all that water?
Yep, they have to get rid of all that water.
So that's just rude.
And bleach it out, yeah. So I'm trying to figure out what the draw is to be a serial pooper.
I don't think you'll ever be able to figure that out.
It's not something that has ever appealed to me.
Right.
Right.
It's good.
It's not something that appeals to me. However, I do find it funny because everybody else finds it so not funny.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This particular story comes out of a suburb of Cleveland called Ohio City.
All right.
And they've got a serial pooper on the loose. And the news went out to take a look.
People in Ohio City are having to tackle a problem they never thought they would have to face, a possible serial pooper. The person is targeting homeowners, businesses, even public areas. Tara Molina is live in Ohio City. And Tara, this is quite disgusting and disturbing.
Can I stop you right there?
Yes.
Allie, you worked in news for a long time.
I did.
When you're that reporter and they say, hey, we're putting you on the serial pooper beat. Are you happy? Do you feel like you're doing well at that station, or is it time to start looking around for another job?
I feel like they give these stories to certain people
uh-huh.
that will make the puns, people that will have a little
really?
Bit of fun.
So
with
they
it.
Would give it to you because you had a good sense of humor.
Well, no, because okay. I did the stuff, and they would not trust me with this story.
Well,
okay. And
okay,
I think that's smart.
That's probably
so.
Yeah.
Is it a compliment to be on the serial pooper beat?
No.
Well, you're saying they're picking people who they think will do a good job with it because of their certain, particular set of skills.
Yeah,
they're not punishing you by giving you this job.
No, absolutely not. They're punishing the people that are on the rain beat.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
But the serial pooper beat, fine.
No, you're good.
Okay, here she is out in the field.
Yeah, I mean, the people living here just told me it is so gross. It is so unbelievable. They almost have to laugh. But at the same time, with this continuing to go on, they told me they've just had enough.
It's a beautiful neighborhood. Great place to ride a bike or take a walk.
It's up and coming. I mean, everybody's putting a lot of money into the area.
But the next time you head to up and coming Ohio City, you might want to be careful where you step.
See? Be careful where you step.
Okay, that's good advice.
It's poop. Bean.
Or what you step in.
I have found wads of poop and have had to clean it up myself.
All right.
What's a wad of
what
poop?
What is a wad? How do you make a wad of it?
And why is she cleaning it
why
up?
Why is she cleaning up the wad?
What's happening? I found a wad of poop. What is
Who
she talking about?
A wad of poop.
Wads of poop, and have had to clean it up myself.
That's right. Poop.
That's because at this point in the story, we still don't know what she's talking about.
Human waste.
Oh, what?
People are finding it in their yards, on their porches, and even in front of local shops.
I'm sorry, but the idea to me that you walk out your front door and you see that on your porch.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No.
Unless it happens to you. It's horrible.
But I think it's funny if it happens to me.
Well.
Yep, make a note of that.
I'm doing.
Look at some of the areas. You may find it yourself, you know? I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it's true.
It's very disgusting. It's nasty. It's trifling. It's honorable.
Signs like these
Hold
are
on
in
a
the
second.
Streets.
Yes. Hold on a second.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he say it was trifling and it was ornery?
Yes.
He did, yes.
I think it is trifling.
Who are these
it
people that they interview
with
this with the wad of poop and yep. with the trifling and ornery? Who are these people that live in this town?
Ohio,
in Ohio?
City people, is an up and coming
yeah,
city.
Yeah, people
Bean.
In up and coming Ohio City.
Right,
I guess so.
It's very disgusting. It's nasty. It's trifling. It's ornery.
Signs like these line the streets: a warning to pick up after your pooch. None of them mentioned the different breed of cleanup that's troubling people who live here.
See what she did?
What?
But wait, that sign doesn't cover human beings. What should we do now?
It's going to smell like you know what in here.
Smelly. But the culprits are tough to sniff out.
See?
I will call 911 and say, hey, man, I see somebody in somebody's yard taking a trowel or a dump or taking a urine. By the time police come, they'd probably be gone by then.
Do you take a urine?
No, you don't. No. You don't take a urine.
Still, everyone in Ohio City is hoping Cleveland cops will flush these serial poopers.
See? Flush?
Yeah.
Can you get that out later?
Yeah.
Look how much time they spent on this story on the newscast, too, by the way.
Yeah. Still almost 2 minutes now.
We don't need this crap in Cleveland.
Oh!
Cleveland police told me that if the people doing this are caught, they could face a crime, public indecency, maybe even vandalism charges. Live in Ohio City, Tara Molina, News Channel 5.
Okay.
Yes.
Maybe Allie. I shouldn't ask this, but how do you know it's human poop?
Well,
you want to feel this one, Bean?
I don't know how descriptive you want to get, but I mean, even if you've owned a big dog, Allie, it doesn't look the same as you can tell. You can just tell.
Maybe it's another animal.
Why are you not accepting the fact that maybe it's just a human being? Why
is that? Because it's an up-and-coming city, and I just...
Oh, so no one there would do that?
Yeah, I don't... It's got to be someone from outside Ohio City.
I'm relatively confident that it is a human, and that it is a serial pooper,
and it's trifling.
And it is trifling and ornery. I'll tell you that.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
So how about your phone calls coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show for Kevin and Bean's What's Good at 1-800-520-1067. There's a lot going on in the world that you may want to talk about. A lot of very depressed Republicans today, among other things. But you can call about sports or news or movies or you got questions, you got comments. This is our time of the show that we turn it over to you to talk about the things that you wish we were talking about. And we invite your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, What's Good is coming up. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
I would first like to kick things off on the Showbiz Beat with just a general apology.
Okay.
Not on my behalf for a change, but for something Bean said yesterday.
Okay.
Regarding how he wishes Vince Scully would die.
I didn't say that. That's a complete misrepresentation. I want Mr. Scully to live forever.
No, you don't.
I do.
Here's what Bean said. He said what he wants is for the Dodgers to win the World Series and for Vin to make that call, and then promptly after they achieve that goal, for him to die in the broadcast booth. That's what Bean said.
I want Vin to stay alive.
That's very different from wanting him to live forever, by the way. You want him to die in the broadcast booth. Very different.
I want him to stay alive long enough to see his beloved Dodgers, for whom he has worked for 67 years, win another World Series.
Right.
But
and then,
only
then
enjoy
what,
it.
And then what's going to happen after they win the World Series? What did you say? Just say what you said.
What I said was that I want his heart to explode and then to die the happiest he's ever been in his life.
Right.
Because what a beautiful send-off for Vin.
But you're not going to give him like 2 hours to celebrate? I mean, it has to be right when they win?
After the parade?
Let them enjoy it.
Can't you see the parade?
Dude called games for 65 years.
He's got to go behind the mic. Second.
So what are you apologizing for, Ralph?
You say
what do you
all
think
that?
I'm apologizing for? And secondly, we've got a lot of listener reaction.
Okay.
Including this song from one of our favorite listeners, Lou Thomas.
Who oh, no. This. The White Cat is back.
I hope we see the Dodgers go all the way this year. And when we hear Vin Scully announce that win, but there's a Baxter out there who thinks a better plan is instant death that moment and sadness for the fan. I don't know why Dean takes such pride in hoping that Vin Scully will die.
No.
There's not another soul alive who doesn't think he's out of his mind. It's not enough that Rooster's hide. Now he is after our nation's pride. I hope Vin Scully lives to see a time when K-Rock has no more being.
Yeah, don't we all?
That's
yeah. Thank you, Luke.
That is just... That's unpleasant.
People have spoken.
Wow, so proud.
People have spoken. Boy, well, and then he stopped very quickly.
All I'm saying is I want him to have the happiest moment of his life. That's
stop.
It.
Whoopi Goldberg may be leaving The View.
She's still on The View?
Is there something we can do? Is there some sort of petition we can sign?
The View is still on the air?
Yeah. She's been on that show for 9 years. And she has told friends she's fed up with the show. Well, get in line, Whoopi.
Same.
We're finally on the same side of an issue, Whoopi, you and I. Now, some suggest maybe a bargaining ploy since she's also currently in talks about extending her contract, which is up this year. So,
I see The View now and again. Not
more
as much
than
as,
most.
Not as much as I used to, but I will tell you that she contributes virtually nothing to that show. She's not entertaining. She's not smart. She doesn't. She's not funny. I don't know why she's even on.
But she's bitter a lot.
Yes, she definitely
gives that.
Is. She's definitely. She seems cranky.
She does say, "Oh, come on!"
Yeah,
a lot about stuff. You know, who is on that show I really like is Michelle Collins. She's a very funny comedian, and that's about it. Speaking of morning television, what's going on over at Live with Kelly Ripa?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're currently scrambling to find a new co-host since Michael Strahan will be leaving shortly to go join Good Morning America. Kelly's first fill-in co-host, by the way, on May 16th, Jimmy Kimmel's going to come by.
Is that right?
How about that for the Jims?
All right.
Helping out a fellow ABC-er. And there's another rumor. This could be fascinating. ABC executives, according to sources, have reached out to Regis Philbin to come back and co-host that show. 84-year-old Regis Philbin. I hope he comes back. I hope the ratings go through the roof. And the minute they announce how good those Nielsens are, his heart explodes and he dies.
How dare you? Nobody would ever say something like that.
How dare you?
Don't be ridiculous.
Rodney's got to be happy. Another big Monkees hit has hit the interwebs.
Uh-oh.
The first one, of course, was written by Rivers Cuomo of Weezer, which was a very catchy song. She makes me laugh.
I love it.
And today we have a new one from Andy Partridge, former XTC leader, who wrote this song. The new Monkees hit is called You Bring the Summer. Here's a little taste.
The birds and the bees will fly around me, even though we're deep in January. When you come around, you bring the summer.
Sounds very XTC, doesn't it?
XTC? Like Dear God XTC?
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
Well, they had a lot of peppier songs than Dear God.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think of
what
them
was that big peppy one they did, Bean? It was
the Peter Pumpkinhead or whatever it was called.
Yeah, and Generals, Generals and Majors, right?
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
That was there?
Yep, that was them too.
Yeah, so
that sounds like a really great 1960s pop song.
The whole album sounds like that. It's very retro. But who'd have think after all these years anybody would still be caring about the Monkees, let alone to have all these musical pop stars coming in and helping these guys out,
making plans for Nigel. Remember that one?
I'm only making plans for Nigel.
Mayor of Simpleton? Wow, they had a lot of good
Mayor
songs.
Of Simpleton, that was a good tune.
I'm interested in this Monkees album, I think.
Don't tell your voice.
And then once the album hits number one, Bean would like their hearts to explode and for them
to die immediately and not enjoy
here
it.
Here it is, exclusive.
Right.
The Monkees.
Yeah.
Okay. We already played it, actually, Riley.
Just a little short. Today's celebrity birthdays: Will Arnett's 46 years old. Mike Dirnt of Green Day celebrates his 44th birthday. Aaron Andrews is 38. Lance Bass, formerly of NSYNC, 37 years old. And Ashley Rickards, you know her as Jenna from Awkward. She's 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tickets later this hour for you for the sold-out K-Rock Winnie Rose 2016. Stick around for your chance to win. Right now, we're using those same phones at 1-800-520-1067 for a feature we like to call What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Comments, questions, problems, we've got you covered here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Let's start in Pasadena, please, on line five. Let's see what Ricky's talking about.
Hey, Ricky.
Yo.
Yo. What's good?
Dude, I hate renting cars. I'm going to quit and find a new job.
Oh, you work for a rental car company?
Yes. I can't say the name, but it starts with the letter E.
All right.
Wonder who that could be.
You sound like a very enterprising young man. Ricky, what's the problem with the job?
So, we have our normal, regular customers, and they just suck.
Okay.
I got a guy who doesn't shower. Every time we pick him up, we all play rock, paper, scissors to see who has to go pick him up.
Wow.
And then I have the lady who has to put her fingers in her mouth as she's touching the pen every single
time. Really? I got to be honest, Ricky. I don't think this is just rental car. I think anybody that's in customer service gets tired.
People are gross. People and are they're awful. Horrible.
Yeah. If you have to deal with the public, God bless you.
She takes her credit card, her ID. She puts her fingers in her mouth as she's looking at her purse and then hands it to me and wants me to swipe it. And I have to take a napkin and go,
Why does she? What's the point of that?
She has an oral fixation. Like, we know this lady. She comes in once a month and likes to play with her mouth, with her fingers.
Does she have the right kind of oral fixation?
She's a big girl.
Okay. Look, this job is clearly getting to you. You need to look around and find something where you don't have as much face-to-face with the public, I think.
I'm sitting outside the parking lot right now.
Ricky.
Poor Ricky.
Well, I wish there was something we could do for you, but I'm glad you're aware of the problem, and I hope you do something to change your life.
I feel like there are a million jobs out there just waiting for people, so go ahead and quit. Nothing but jobs.
I did it at K-Rock. You guys should hire me at K-Rock.
Oh, you know what? You're breaking up, Ricky. I'm sorry. I got a bad phone line. I don't know what happened there, but we just lost you.
Thanks for calling.
Let's go to Pomona, please. Line three. This is going to be our man, Jose. I think this one's directed at you, Kevin.
Jose, hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Allie.
Hey, Jose.
What's good?
All right, Kevin. You're not going to like me too much after this conversation, but here we go.
Okay.
I'll tell you what's not good.
Hey, this feature is not called What's Not Good. Let the man talk.
First of all.
Yes, Jose, I'm sorry.
Soccer is not good, huh? Anybody with me? Yep.
It's a good delivery.
Your problem? Yeah, what's your problem with soccer, Jose? The most popular sport in the world. What is it you don't like about it?
Right. First of all, it's pretty boring. You know, it's up there with baseball.
Take it easy.
Another thing too is one thing that bugs me is the offside rule. I don't get it. To me, that's like the dumbest rule in sports. It's like the defense gets rewarded for being lazy. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. And one more thing.
Hold on a second, right there. What's his complaint there, Kevin? Is the offside rule in soccer different than the offside rule in football?
It's the single most difficult offside call, I think, in the world, because you have to have the goaltender and a defender between you and the goal unless the ball's in front of you. But if somebody has kicked it and the ball's in the air, you can run right past them. So the ref has to judge if the guy's offside before it was kicked. And then once the ball's in the air, it's crazy and difficult.
Do you think it's a good rule?
Complex.
Do you disagree with Jose? You think it's a good rule in the sport?
I don't know. I feel like they get those wrong and it really affects a team 3 to 5 times a game.
Yeah.
Because it's so difficult to call.
Right, because if the defender gets beat, all he has to do is slow down and boom, they get the ball back.
Sort of. I mean, it's much more complicated than that. But, yeah, it's sort of that way.
Right.
Yeah, are we still talking about soccer?
Yeah, we are. Oh. Allie dozed off for a minute there. Kevin, address Jose's number one point, because this is a complaint a lot of people have about soccer, that the ball goes back and forth on the field for an hour and no one scores and there's not that much to look at. Is that not boring for you?
No, because once you learn where all the players are supposed to go, by the way, they're constantly moving. All people on the field are constantly moving. In baseball, they're either standing or spitting or warming up. Or sitting.
Right. Like, that's what they're doing. But they're running back and forth.
Right. But they all are getting in the right position for the next play. It's their once you learn, I don't know. I used to hate it. I used to hate soccer as well. And then I learned about it. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I completely misunderstood it. But I did write a magazine article one time saying soccer sucks. And here's why. The field's too long.
Uh-huh.
If you cut out the middle 80 yards, you'd have a fine sport. And the other thing is, once it gets boring, either coach can throw a second ball on the field. And they're both live.
That would be amazing.
Right?
Yes.
That's a great idea.
I think they should do that anyway. But I'm happy with the sport.
All right, Jose. It sounds like you and Kevin are closer than you were when the phone call began. And I appreciate you calling, sir. Thank you so much. Let's talk to Sam. He's in Aliso Viejo. He's on line two.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's good?
What's good?
What's good indeed?
Donald Trump is good. You see that victory last night?
Did I see what? The picture?
The victory.
Oh, the victory. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, he blew out Ted Cruz. It was a must win for Ted Cruz. He blew him out. Ted Cruz quit the race afterwards, and Donald Trump is going to be your Republican nominee. And you're excited about that.
We're going to make this country great again. This is awesome. So here's the deal. I think people are a little too hard on Donald Trump because they don't understand him.
Or they take
things well out of proportion. I think most of the people that are voting for Donald Trump are voting for him because they hate politics. Politicians are full of crap.
Right.
And even though I think about 20% of the stuff Donald Trump says, 99% of his supporters don't believe. Right? But the rest of the stuff makes a ton of sense.
So you're saying he says a lot of things. Most of the time, he's not necessarily serious, right?
Yeah, he just says it more to be a blowhard, more to be hyperbolic, just to sort of make a point and get himself out there. But I don't think he believes some of that.
I think you are right. I think he is addicted to being blustery and loud and controversial and pushing people's buttons. And I think you're absolutely right that his appeal for many people is that he is not another goddamn politician who's going to get in there and do nothing and be boring. And that's what people are tired of.
Exactly.
Here's why Donald Trump is great, because he beat Ted Cruz. And then last night when Ted Cruz quit, Ted Cruz accidentally elbowed and punched his wife like three times while turning around to try and hug somebody. And it's one of my favorite gifts of all time.
Well, Ted is the most awkward human who ever
really
lived.
He really is. This poor wife is like, she's just really roughing her up, and it's ugly.
Sam, do you think Mr. Trump will win the presidency?
I truly believe it. Like, I was watching CNN and all those stations, and it's so crazy to me how those people are. They're still back where they were in June of last year. They really just don't believe he's going to win.
Right.
I mean,
they
think he's just this is just a fly-by-night thing. But people are just sick and tired of the same old politicians. I mean, 2 years ago, people were talking about how they hated – they don't want it to be another Bush or another Clinton. But here we are. We have Clinton. And then we have another option of a guy who maybe we don't believe 10 to 20% of the stuff that he says. But the guy is not lying.
Well, we do have an alternative, that's for sure. For people who don't think there's a difference between candidates, this year there certainly is. Glad you called, Sam. Thanks so much. We'll take a quick break. Come back on camera.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're good. Okay.
What's good?
Calling all Red Hot Chili Peppers fans right now. Brand new music from the band on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show. And we got tickets for you at 1-800-520-1067 to see them headlining the bill at the Sold Out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016. You can call right now. If you're a Chili Peppers fan, we'll give you a chance to play a game to win tickets to see the K-Rock Weenie Roast 1 week from Saturday. That caller that came on with us a few minutes ago, that Donald Trump supporter, brought up Ted Cruz last night. Here's what he said in the speech before he hit his wife in the head with his elbows a couple of times.
From the beginning, I've said that I would continue on as long as there was a viable path to victory. Tonight, I'm sorry to say, it appears that path has been foreclosed.
There's about 18 very upset people in front of Ted Cruz right there.
No!
Sad to see him drop out of the race. Time for another Trump date. Hit it, Steve.
He's the guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump date.
Sit down.
Mr. President, how are you, sir?
I couldn't be better because I'm a winner. That's what I do. I win.
Uh-huh.
And I won again. That's
right.
What I did.
Yeah, you sure did. You won big, big, big. And last night, I mean, you have to realize now it's happening. All this talk for the last 6 months about how you were going to be stopped, how there's no way you could be the nominee. Now you're going to be the nominee.
I know. It's unbelievable. But at the same time, it's completely believable because I am the greatest candidate there ever was. And I will be the greatest president that you'll ever have. And I'm looking forward to being king.
Well, we don't have a king.
King, president, emperor, whatever. Sit down.
So you've been calling him Lion Ted for the past few months and just doing nothing but making fun of his family, talking about how ugly his wife is and talking about how his father helped kill JFK. That's for real. I didn't make it up. And then last night you're like, oh, Ted's a great guy and a great competitor. He has a beautiful family. I mean, you couldn't have appeared more two-faced last night.
I love Ted Cruz so much.
You don't love Ted Cruz.
He's
you've done nothing
guy.
But...
The what? Greatest, really.
You spent a year and a half telling us how bad he was.
He's the best.
He's Lion Ted, though, you said.
He's the best guy, and he was a great competitor. And I'm sorry, frankly, that he's not in the race anymore. And I'm sorry that his dad killed Kennedy. I really am.
Okay, but
I'm a huge, huge supporter of the Kennedy family, and it's sad that his dad killed that guy.
Okay, that didn't happen at all. So now you're turning...
I also feel bad that... Bernie Sanders, who I think is a great guy, it's a shame that he blew up the Hindenburg. I think that's a horrible thing that he did, but we have to move forward. That's all I have to say.
I think that's accurate at all.
I'm sorry that John Kasich hid those aliens from the Roswell crash.
That didn't happen.
He should have let that information out, in my opinion.
You're just making things up about
and I'm
people.
I'm sorry that Hillary Clinton faked the moon landing. Really, she should have been held accountable for that.
She wasn't involved in none of those people were involved in any of those things you just made up, Donald.
Ted Cruz would have done better, I think, had his wife been just a little prettier. It's hardly even his fault. Did you see my stage last night when I was talking?
I did.
Surrounded by beautiful women up on that stage.
You have an attractive family.
Unbelievably beautiful.
They all look like they're kind of dead behind the eyes, though.
That's the way I like them.
Okay.
I like them pretty and dead. And my wife, Melania, could not be more beautiful.
Right.
My daughter, Ivanka, who you know, I think is incredibly hot.
Right.
Yeah. You've mentioned
that. Smoking hot.
Makes us uncomfortable a little.
My other daughter, the other one I don't really talk to, she was there.
Uh-huh.
I just, every way, I win bigly. That's what I do. I just show up, and I win bigly.
Okay. Allie, you want to handle this?
The bigly thing?
Yeah.
Bigly's not a word.
I have the best words, first of all.
Okay.
I have a great brain, and sometimes my thoughts are so big that English words can't really express it. So I have to make up some words.
Well, there's a debate whether you're saying bigly or big league.
Exactly.
Which one is it?
Right.
Right, I have a clip. I'm going to play a clip of you saying it, and then we can discuss which one you meant. Here we go.
We're not going to lose. We're going to start winning again, and we're going to win bigly.
It sounded like bigly, Mr. Trump. I got to be honest.
It's bigly.
Bigly.
Okay. Now, already, I'm looking at vice presidential possibilities. Who's going to be my running mate?
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, well, first of all, the worse I am, the better I do. That's just the way it works.
That's true, actually.
So for a vice president, I've narrowed it down to either Charlie Sheen, Kanye West, somebody from ISIS. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But it seems like the worse I get, the better I do. And that's the way it is. So we're going to win bigly. And maybe I'll go with Ed Begley Jr. because I'm bigly into Begley.
Well, good luck with that.
Sit down.
All this week on the Kevin and Bean Show and next, too, we're giving you tickets to join us at the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016. It is sold out a week from Saturday at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Everybody from Weezer to Lucas Graham, from Panic at the Disco to Wads of Poop, they're all going to be there. And of course,
I think Wads of Poop.
Really? No, I heard Wads of Poop was out of the side stage.
That woman cleaned them up.
And, of course, the Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to be there. And we've got a bunch of Chili Pepper fans on the line right now at 1-800-520-1067. This game is called Red Hot Bluegrass.
So you wanna roast a big fat weenie, and you also wanna see the red hot chili
peppers.
Here comes your chance, you will shake that ass. Come on now, let's play. This is Red Hot Bluegrass. Yeehaw!
Yeehaw indeed. Kevin, for the callers, how's this one go?
We're going to play a terrible version of a Red Hot Chili Peppers song in bluegrass style of music.
Ooh.
With banjos.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have to tell us the name of the song. It is a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. All you have to do is give us the correct name.
All right. That sounds, I mean, you should recognize some words or a melody or something. That sounds doable.
All right. We have Patrick in Fullerton first. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thank you. Welcome to the show. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here you go.
She was the girl.
First of all, that guy can go right to hell, right?
Yeah. Is it Breaking the Girl?
It is. Yes.
She was a girl.
All right, you hold on. Let's go to Steve in Azusa. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, are you ready?
I think so.
Red Hot Bluegrass. Good luck.
Blood loss in a bathroom stall. Southern girl with a scarlet drawl. Wave goodbye to Mom and Pa, cause with the birds I'll share.
God, F him. Scar tissue.
Right
F
on both
indeed.
Counts. Correct. Thank you.
Blood loss in the bathroom stall.
All right. Let's go to Doug in Commerce. Hi, Doug.
Hey.
You ready?
Hey, Doug.
Yeah. All right.
Marry me, girl. Be my fairy to the world. Be my very own constellation. Teenage bride with a baby inside getting high on information.
Don't try to answer before we get to enjoy the full majesty of that performance. What's your answer again, Doug?
Californication.
Buy me a star on the boulevard.
Look, I like bluegrass music.
Nope.
Okay, I do. I like it.
No one likes it.
These people are ruining these songs. This is awful.
Casey in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How have you done on hold so far?
I've gotten 2 out of 3.
All right.
Okay. All right. Not bad.
Here's Red Hot Bluegrass. Good luck.
Steak knife. Fart shot. Fun job. Boot cut. Skip that flick. You're such a little DJ.
Oh, my Lord.
Are you kidding me? I don't know that one.
You don't know that one. Does this sound familiar?
Wow.
Nope.
Yeah, that's not really meant for bluegrass, I'm afraid.
Agreed.
I think you're right. That's a by the way. But thank you for calling.
So he got F that guy. He just didn't get the name of the song.
Yeah.
Right.
Mauricio in Corona. Hi.
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, welcome to the game. You ready?
Yep.
Good luck.
She sees my good deeds and she kisses me windy. I never worry, that is a lie.
All right, what's that song?
Oh, man, the towel. If I sing the song, the towel is leaving my head right now. Into the place I love. Oh, no.
You know this so well.
Come on, what's it called? Do it.
In the place.
Come on, Mauricio, we're pulling for you.
He's having a full-on Kevin moment where he knows it, but he can't access
it.
Yeah,
I'm having a full-on Kevin moment.
That's Under the Bridge.
Oh, my God.
Name of that one.
She sees my good deeds.
Not a big hit,
not
right?
Not a big hit. Yeah. It's right. Okay, Mauricio.
All right, let's try a couple more. Playing for Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016. Sold out. Coming up on May 14th at Irvine. Who's our next contestant?
Greg in Riverside. Hi, Greg.
What up, peeps?
All right, you ready?
Sure, why not?
Good luck.
What I've got to give it to your mama. What I've got to give it to your papa.
Seriously. Seriously, that guy needs to be punched right in the face.
Play
I don't have more.
Oh.
Maybe we should get the whole version of that. All right, what's that?
Yeah, so I have no clue.
Oh! Oh! That's give it away.
It's give it away. Come on.
Greg.
All right, let's try. Let's do one more. Let's get a lady in. Let's see how a lady does.
Serena in Norwalk.
Hi.
Hi there. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
This is Red Hot Bluegrass. Good luck.
Chicka chicka dee, do me like a banshee. Low brow, his house, swimming in the sound of bow wow wow.
What say you, Serena?
Is.
Yes, tell us.
That is Suck My Kiss.
It is.
It is.
Chicka chicka dee, do me like a banshee.
Nicely done.
All right, so we got a yes on Serena, Patrick, Steve, Doug, all in the drawing. Only one will win tickets to join us May 14th at Irvine for the Chili Peppers and more for K-Rock's sold-out Weenie Rose 2016. Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Patrick.
Yay!
Patrick. Patrick, congratulations.
Yeah.
You won the tickets. We'll see you at the Weenie Rose.
You guys gave me the hardest one.
Well, now's not the time to complain.
Why are you complaining now?
Well, thank you. I love you guys.
You just won the game.
This is Red Hot Bluegrass.
Yee-haw.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
There's a documentary about some of the people, not behind the scenes, but sort of the secondary, not even secondary, third, fourth, fifth level, I don't know.
You want another run at that?
No.
Okay.
That was A Moment with Kevin. Oh.
I want to see that documentary.
Oh, Kevin.
I'm not sure what it's about, but it sounds great.
Yeah.
Kevin was referring to our guest next hour, Jeremy Bullock. He is an actor who, oh, I don't know, you might know as Boba Fett from The Empire Strikes Back, who's going to be joining us here on the program. And I think Kevin was trying to talk about the movie that he's in.
You sure?
Let's
see if that's what
maybe
he was
talking
about. How about
understood.
If I just confirm that's what I was talking
let's
about?
Hear, right. Let's hear it and see.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
There's a documentary about some of the people, not behind the scenes, but sort of the secondary, not even secondary, third, fourth, fifth level, I don't know.
You want another run at that?
No.
Okay.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
You're arguing with yourself.
Aww. Yeah.
I wonder if they knew they were going to be in the main office, but the one outside the second office when some of those actors did that thing second or third.
In my
or
brain,
fourth,
for the most part, it's correct.
Behind the
and
scenes.
Then it goes through whatever prism is between my brain and my mouth.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It just comes out all jumbled.
Here's the thing: there's cheese at the end of the maze. All right, and then your thought is the mouse at the beginning of the maze. And it's got to work its way through all those corners and turns and twists before it actually gets to eat.
And it's been a long time since I've eaten.
That's a starving mouse.
I'm so hungry.
That's a hungry mouse. Keeps hitting those walls.
You know, since Kevin adopted his new work policy, which is 2 days a week or so, we've slowed down on the moments with. We don't get nearly as many as we used to because there's not as much Kevin as
well,
there used
why
to
don't some of you step up?
Okay.
I'm always willing to cede that throne.
All right.
Take over.
To what?
Don't you cede the throne? Is that
yes, you do.
Thank you,
Pete. C-E-D-E. That was a very good word, Kevin. Kevin has all the best words.
He does.
He's the smartest guy, and I have all the best words.
He's smart,
that's right.
Bigly.
Miami, you pulled out cede the throne.
You did.
I rented that once, cede the throne. It was not what I expected.
That's not what
it was not about royalty at all.
Nope.
S-E-E-D, not.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Yeah. The throne wasn't even a chair.
Oh.
Nope.
No, I'm telling you, do not rent it.
It's a good tip.
Here's another good tip for you. What are you doing Saturday? I'll tell you what you're doing Saturday. You're going to Santa Anita.
Hey, doesn't that sound wild?
It sure does. It's the K-Rock Brew Fest happening at the infield at Santa Anita Racetrack this Saturday. Can't ask for a more fun day. You got beer? There's like 40 different local breweries will be represented there.
You've got the magic ingredient.
Right, that is the magic ingredient. You got pony races. You got wagering. A concert. Come on, people. What are you doing? It's $5 to get in. Infield opens at 11 a.m. First race is at noon.
Hold up your beers if you're drinking.
And you can hang out with these.
That guy's yelling at you.
These fine people. That guy, Lightning. Super Steve, Chip, Beer Mug, King of Mexico, Omar, Striker, Miss Double December. They'll all be
yum,
there.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So check it out. Saturday, 11 a.m. is when things kick off. And just to sweeten the pot a little bit, let me give away a 4-pack of VIP backstage tickets to this event. This will include beer garden and concert admission, 2 drink tickets, racing program and tip sheet, VIP backstage and wagering areas for you and 3 friends. If you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller through with that phone number gets a 4-pack of VIP tickets for the K-Rock Brewfest at Santa Anita.
Delightful.
Scott Stapp fooled us. Remember, he told an Atlanta radio station that he would be replacing Scott Weiland. And the folks on that show, as anyone would, assumed that Stapp met the Stone Temple Pilots.
Right.
That's until the Stone Temple Pilots guy said, nuh-uh. So then Scott had to come back. Scott Stapp had to come back and say what he really meant was he'll be the new lead singer for Art of Anarchy.
That's what he meant to say?
Well, he was trying to mislead people, and he did, so he had to correct himself.
JK!
Art of Anarchy, if you don't
JK!
Remember.
Yeah,
he's just kidding. Was the short-lived supergroup that Weiland sang for. They only had one album released in 2015. Scott Weiland said, this album is not that good. That's the band. That's the band he's taking over for. The one that Scott said, it really didn't work out so well.
Wow.
But apparently, he's now on board to get Art of Anarchy up and running again with ex-Guns N' Roses guitarist Ron Bumblefoot Tall, Disturbed bassist John Moyer, and the Voda Brothers, John and Vince on guitar.
There's a guy to bring him back, though. It's Scott.
Oh, he's going to bring Art of Anarchy back to its lofty position right at the top where it belongs. So good news for all of us. Right?
Sure.
Hey, the Hoff. The Hoff's in the news.
The Hoff.
Sorry,
the
ladies. Hoff. Sorry, ladies.
Sorry?
Hoff is now off the market. He has proposed to his longtime girlfriend, Haley Roberts, and they're headed to the altar.
You don't mean that he's Hoff the market, do you, Ralph? I feel like you do.
He didn't say that.
But that's what we were all thinking, right?
This is why Bean's going to be the coolest 100-year-old in the world.
That joke's going to go over really well, but he's 100.
You kids remember David Hasselhoff, don't you?
The Hoff loves to rock.
He was welcome as a hot rock in the bottom of your frog barrel. Just a bad example. He's marrying Haley Roberts, his girlfriend. Just
yeah, who is the lucky lady? I don't know her.
Haley Roberts, come on. You know Haley Roberts.
What is she? Would I know her from something?
Yeah, from David Hasselhoff.
Oh, okay. All right.
Boner. If you're keeping track at home, Hoff is 63 as he enters into his third marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Haley, 36. See, there's a nice kind of symmetry there, because 63 backwards is 36.
Oh. Don't hassle the Hoff.
It's a mess. They met the old-fashioned way, by the way. She once asked him for his autograph. That's how they first met.
Wow.
He said, I'll give more than an autograph. How about a burger? And they laid on the floor and shared a burger together.
That's the same impression you do of me.
Mm-hmm. What's that mean? What's that mean to you?
It means you're off. You're way off.
Am I?
Or is he? Way off.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Kill both of you.
Bean and She Bean need to just start your own Bean Island. You're sending you to Bean Island.
Bean played clapping.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. He loves it. Bean loves that kind of...
he's the parakeet looking in the mirror in the cage. He's like, oh, I like that thing. I like that thing I see.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're dead to me.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ashley Rickards. You know her as Jenna from Awkward, 24 years old today. Lance Bass, he's 37. Aaron Andrews is 38. Mike Dirnt from Green Day, bassist for that band, turns 44. Will Arnett's 46. And the legendary Dick Dale, man behind the sound of the surf guitar, one of my favorite sounds in all popular music. He is 79 years old today, still out there performing, still crushing it. Give me a little Miserloo, will you? Come on. Oh! Yeah.
Good stuff.
This makes you want to just hop into your Woody.
What?
Hop into your Woody.
Park, Kevin.
Oh. Head down, grab some gnarly waves, hang 10, bra, with the Grammys and the Hodads. Come on, Buzz!
What?
What's happening?
Come on!
Yeah. That's about as much of that music as I can take.
Come on!
Really?
I enjoyed that.
You enjoyed the whole thing!
I enjoyed that 48 seconds. That was a good 48 seconds right there. I enjoyed it.
Go see those glassy sets. Right. Ankle slappers.
You're not a surfer.
All right, Rockin' Fig. Let's wrap this up.
Oh, excuse me. You got someplace to go?
He just rocked the fig to
I don't like anyone in this room.
You love us all.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now, we have Chris Martin from Coldplay in the studio.
Allie, did you give a lot of extra thought today about what you were going to wear and get your hair all pretty?
I did wash my hair.
Mm-hmm. I know he's your boyfriend.
Well, he's not my boyfriend, but I find him very charming and funny and really talented, and I wish he was my boyfriend so much.
Chris is coming up next hour here at K-Rock, as Kevin mentioned, and then tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., Anthony Kiedis joins us from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and we'll also have their brand new song, first new music in years from the Chili Peppers, called Dark Necessity. So that's tomorrow here on K-Rock.
Right now we're going to talk about tattoo mistakes. This seems to happen a lot.
Yeah.
Where people come up with an idea and then it either gets misspelled or translated weird or something goes wrong and you end up having something permanently on your body that it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't it seem like if there's ever a time to proofread,
yes,
it would be a tattoo.
You would think.
This is even a step beyond I'm doing calligraphy for my wedding invitation. I mean, this is something that is so serious that you ought to check it. You ought to have somebody else check it. And then you ought to have a third person check it.
All those people that do that calligraphy for their wedding invitations.
Yeah. Great example of being.
That's a common thing that people do.
Sure.
Okay.
This girl is not the brightest. And she wanted to get a Chinese... She wanted something in Chinese that meant travel, because she loves traveling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here she tells her story in a very, very engaging way. A
couple months ago, I went and did something really, really stupid. I wanted to get a phrase in Chinese, which, yes, I know that sounds like complete basic white girl tattoo, but I like languages and I like traveling, so at the time it seemed like a really cool idea.
All right.
Okay.
Right? By the way, I've heard a lot of stories with Chinese characters that can be a very tiny difference between them creates a completely different word. It's very tough to get those just so.
Yeah, I don't think that's this problem.
Okay.
I think this problem is somebody screwing with her.
There was a series of mistakes that led to this fail. My first mistake was I asked for the translation from someone on the internet. Okay.
Like a stranger on the internet?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
Or just Google Translate. I wonder if she just wrote in whatever...
She got the information from somebody who gave her the Chinese term she thought for travel and whatever, and it didn't turn out to be that.
Obviously, you don't do that. You don't ask anyone on the internet for anything. Apparently, this person thought that it'd be hilarious to translate into something.
I would just like to point out that it is hilarious that this person misled her into putting this on.
That is not what she asked for. And I'm like, well, what does it say? This says what I think it says, right? And they're just like, no. And I'm like, well, what does it say? It says Jeremy Lin.
Okay, now Jeremy Lin is a basketball player.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is, by the way, she's telling the story after she got the tattoo. This is not a, hey, let's discuss what this says. Oof. She got the tattoo. Now she's asking what it means.
I was like, what does that even mean? Is that a real person? Like, what is that? I didn't believe them. And they're like, no, it says Jeremy Lin. So, I typed it into Google Translate, and it actually does say Jeremy Lin. So, I'm just like, what is this? What is this random name? Like, is this...
So, she did do Google Translate, but only... After the tattoo.
Just to
was
confirm
on.
What yeah. she was told. Gotcha.
Correct.
What is happening? I was really, really upset at the time. Like, I was so mad at myself for, like, being so stupid about it.
Well, you should have been. You should have been mad at yourself.
She says, this is a young lady, Holland, by the way, to address some comments I've gotten. I'm not a complete idiot. I have 2 college degrees. I know better than to make such a mistake, but we all do dumb things sometimes. My mistake just happens to be permanent. She said people have asked if she's going to sue the tattoo parlor, and she's like, no, not at all. It's not their fault. A lot of people have asked me about that, but it was completely my fault. I went in there with a paper, and I told them what they wanted. So it's just a mistake that she's going to live with. Now, hasn't she become a Jeremy Lin fan since she had this tattoo put on her body?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think that's the other part of the story that I heard is that she went to a Hornets game, and now she likes them.
Yeah, because she has the tattoo. So she had to.
Oh, yeah, I like him. Sure.
Yeah. I think it could be a worse athlete. I mean, he's a good guy.
Sure.
Harvard educated.
Didn't have to be an athlete. It could have been cursing. It could have been anything.
She didn't know.
That's the point.
Could have been something horribly racist.
Right.
So
she's like, yeah, I guess I could have double checked that.
after it's already on her body.
So anyway, tattoo. Right. Tattoo mistakes is what we're talking about here on the Kevin DeBean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Before we get to Garrett, Allie, what was the story that you loved last week with Iggy Azalea?
Her boyfriend, Nick Young, from the Lakers, mm-hmm. went in to get a tattoo. And this is a huge tattoo across the back. She took a picture of it because she wanted to let people out there know how much she actually loves him, because she stopped him from getting Born Rebel across his back, because Rebel was misspelled. It was misspelled R-E-B-L-E. So Born Rebel.
Oh,
and it's
why would she stop that from happening?
Well,
that's so great.
Right.
Kevin, that's you would not let your wife get a tattoo that you knew was misspelled. Not that you'd ever know that a word was misspelled, but you wouldn't let her do that, would you?
Dare you?
You would tell her before she got it.
I would like to think that that's true.
Oh, no.
But I don't know. It just makes me laugh.
Would you want somebody to tell you if you were getting ready to have a word misspelled onto your body?
I got to be honest. No. Because it's the right thing to do is to not stop them.
Wow.
It's the right thing to do.
Remind me to never get a tattoo with
just
Kevin.
I'm saying.
Wow.
It's like photobombing. If you're in position to photobomb, the law is you have to photobomb.
From photobombing.
It is very different.
Just a little different.
All right, let's talk to Garrett. 1-800-520-1067. Obviously, we're looking for your tattoo mistakes. You got a tattoo and it didn't say what you thought it was going to say or what you hoped it would say. Garrett, you're up first. What happened to you, my friend?
Hey, am I on the air?
Yes, you are. Ashley, go ahead.
Morning, guys. Hi. Allie. So, yeah, my mother's maiden name is Ukrainian. It's Kubrick, like Stanley Kubrick, but with an O.
Okay.
So in one alcohol-induced evening, I decided it would be a good idea to get that knife out on my chest. And instead, what I did was I typed into Google Translate, and it translated it letter for letter. The Google Translate seems to be a theme here with the messed up tattoos.
Right, but the girl that we talked that we played that clip from didn't even look at it until after the tattoo was on her.
Oh, yeah. No, same story here.
Oh, same with you. Okay.
Same thing here. So it's spelled K-U-B-R-O-T-K. However, in the Russian language, there is no, there is no C. So the C in the Russian language is actually an S. So in other words, I got Kubrak on my chest in Cyrillic instead of Kubrak, which was my intention.
Wow. How big is it on your chest? Is it all the way across? No.
It's about 5 inches. But however, I think to be honest, my family pulled no punches, and they really like to make you suffer for your mistakes. So
good.
I think they're glad I did it.
Your family's the best. That's
for the most part, 99% of the people you run into throughout your life are not going to be able to speak Russian anyway. So they'll believe it is whatever you tell them it is, right?
Exactly. I just tell them if they do speak Russian, I tell them, like, oh, yeah, no, it's Kubrick. You know, I just make up a story about it. So.
Exactly. All right, Garrett, great call. Thank you, sir. 1-800-520-1067. Your stories of tattoo mistakes. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Chris Martin from Coldplay. Debuting their new single and talking about lots of cool stuff coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. Right now we're taking your calls on bad tattoos, tattoo mistakes, errors in ink on your skin at 1-800-520-1067. Oh, we got a good batch here.
We do, but we're going to have to steam through them because we have a bunch.
All right, why don't we start with Sylvia then? She's in Van Nuys. She's on line 6. She'll get us going.
Hey, Sylvia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. You have a tattoo mistake?
Well, it was actually my son.
Your son?
Yes. He turned 18 years old. He wanted to go get a tattoo. I told him to wait for me. He didn't wait for me. He went with 5 of his friends right out of high school, and he wanted to get the Red Hot Chili Peppers,
mm-hmm.
the name with their little slogan.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And there was 3 tattoo artists right there next to him. They put the stencil on. He said, let's go. I get home around 11 o'clock at night, and I see that tattoo, and it says, Hot Red Chili Peppers on it.
Oh, no.
Nobody noticed it. Not the 3 tattoo artists, not 5 of his friends, my son. And he started crying. He's like, how do you notice this? I go, why didn't you wait for me?
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
His friends didn't know. I doubt that. I'll bet they were laughing the whole time.
He didn't notice until I noticed. Mom,
hot red chili peppers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you so much for the call, Sylvia. We appreciate it. Let's go to Sean from Hermosa Beach, please. Line 7 up next on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys.
You had a tattoo mistake?
Yeah. It was, I was getting a Bon Scott tattoo, and the song title, If You Want Blood, You've Got It,
has an apostrophe in it, but he was doing it on my shoulder, and so it's like upside down and backwards while I'm watching him, and he put the apostrophe after the V instead of before it.
Okay.
And but I was like, well, just put another one on there. So now there's two apostrophes, but now it looks like there's devil horns, and it's an AC/DC tattoo, so I end up loving it.
You win.
Oh, yeah, how about that? So you've got an apostrophe on either side of the V in you've, and it looks like devil horns. That's actually, that does make you look even cooler.
It does. It's badass.
I love it. All right, Sean, thank you for the call. See, that's the way to turn a mistake into a positive, right? Let's try line 8, please. This is La Puente, and we welcome Carlos to the show.
Hey, Carlos.
That was okay. This is just a moment.
Let's try Frank in Fullerton, please. Line 3 up next on the show.
Why do we love him so much? Hey, Frank.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Tattoo mistake?
Yeah, my buddy went and got his last name tattooed down the center of his back. His last name's Anson. So we showed up once he lettered out Anson, and he mixed up the S and the O, so it's Anderson.
Oh, he misspelled his own last name.
He misspelled his own
name. He wrote it down for the tattoo artist wrong?
No, the artist drew it out, and he said, check it out. And he said, it looks good. Put it on.
Oh, no.
Sweet. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Amazing.
I like it. All right. Thank you for the call.
Let's try Mike Corona, line 4, up next, please.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Welcome to the show. You have a tattoo mistake?
Yeah, so I used to work at a tattoo shop, and a guy came in. He had a real thick accent, and he said, I want to get a tattoo for my son. His name's Javier. So I said, Javier, and I wrote it down, J-A-B-I-E-R. He looked at the name and said yes, and he didn't get it small. It was these big Aztec letters on his forearm. So they stenciled it up, said that they liked it. He put the stencil on his arm, said he liked it. Even when he was done, he said it was okay. He didn't realize that he misspelled his son's first name until he got home and his wife yelled at him.
Wow.
I mean, look, as the tattooist, you did everything you could. You gave them every opportunity to say, no, this is wrong, and they didn't.
Yeah, the best part was he told his wife, well, let's just change his name.
That's a good answer.
You going to be okay, Allie?
I don't know. I'm
like you're having really trouble
excited.
Breathing right
let's
now.
Let's go.
Our next guest has a distinguished acting career on stage, in films, and on television for more than 50 years. But we're so happy to have him today on Star Wars Day because of a few days' work he did in a movie called The Empire Strikes Back and another called Return of the Jedi. He, ladies and gentlemen, is, was, and will always be Boba Fett. Please welcome actor Jeremy Bullock to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Bullock, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you for a very nice introduction.
We can't believe we're talking to you, and I imagine that you have this thought all the time, which is, it was a few days' work in the 70s and another few days' work in the 80s, yet people will always love me. What's that like for you?
Yeah. Well, it's funny how it sort of came at the right time. I don't know. I was actually in a play in the theatre in the West End. But I was doing a play and filming during the day. I was exhausted for about 6 days, but they allowed me to have the time off, which is rare. Mm-hmm. So I just was very lucky, I think.
And your brother, your half-brother, was an associate producer on Star Wars?
Robert Watts, yes. He was associate producer, and he mentioned it. And I said, that sounds interesting. And you're second, and then you're doing another one after that. And we don't see each other all the time, but it just came out of the blue. He said, well, get your agent onto it. Then you never know. There might be a day or something. I said, a day? And I'm in the theater. I'm not walking around for a day. So we had this great laugh about it. And before I knew what was happening, there was George Lucas saying, it's not a big role, but I think you'll enjoy it. And I thought, oh.
Wow.
And I looked at the outfit, and I said, God, that's scary. Can I do it? But luckily, I was asked to do it. It was actually only about 7 days, but I had such fun. It was a terrific, terrific outfit.
Jeremy can be seen in a new documentary that is in theaters and on demand called Elstree 1976. Elstree 1976, and that is a confusing title for people, but Elstree was the studio where the movie was made in 1976, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, that's correct, yes, yes.
And I got the impression from all of the people, and this is a movie that talks not only to people who are now well-known because of their roles, like you and David Prowse, who was Darth Vader, but it also talks to X-Wing fighters, and it talks to stormtroopers, and it talks to people in the cantina. And I got the impression that nobody knew
had any idea what they were getting into. It was just a job for many of them at the time.
Yeah, and as an actor, it is. It's another job. You know, you either get it or you don't. You know, sometimes you're terribly lucky because you've gone in bouncing the right way and not walked backwards or something silly. And it was that one of those days, and I said, how do you do? And you were chatting to different people. And I think for a lot of people, they had such a good time and were thrilled to bits that they were playing something, sometimes not even speaking, but at least they were part of it.
So you came from the theater and they basically handed you a bucket and said, put this on your head.
Yes, the bucket, yes.
What was your response to that?
I said, I'll just have to check that I look good in this.
Okay. All right. So what are you thinking behind the mask, Jeremy, in the various times that you appear in those films? I mean, how much acting are you able to do when we can't see you?
Well, that's such an interesting thing. The great thing is with Boba Fett, who's merciless. He's an absolute animal, really, but he's also charming. I think he would be charming. And putting the outfit on and standing there, it's much better to just stand still rather than move around pointing a gun all the time. So I used to just stand still.
I could do that.
Not like Jeremy.
I don't think you could. It's a good try, but I don't think so.
Right. Jeremy Bullock's my favorite. Now, in the documentary, which I had no idea what happens at these conventions, but people basically line up to get your autographs, just to talk to you, share stories. But I had no idea of the jealousy of people that are in the movie that are like, well, my face is on the screen. He's just wearing a bucket on his head. Were you aware of all of that happening?
Well, sort of in the background somewhere, but, you know, you have to laugh that off. And I said, well, I'm off doing a television play after this is finished. You know, I said, you go theatre, television, film, you know, and I was lucky. I started when I was 12.
Wow.
And it really sort of went from job to job to job to job. And in between, I was painting people's houses. So Well, no, you have to do that. My father, I remember saying, he said, I hate actors and, you know, and it's terrible, you know. And he wasn't too keen on me having a theatrical career because he said it can all go wrong. Yes, it can, but you've got to keep up. Oh, come on, I'll earn a bit of money here doing this. And then you have a spell of 6 weeks in a play, then a film. So I just think I was lucky, but you have to put the effort in.
We're talking to actor Jeremy Bullock here on the Kevin Bean Show. Again, the documentary is called Elstree 1976. You can see it at the NoHo 7. You can also see it on demand. If you just look it up, you'll find out where it is. What's your relationship like now with Star Wars fans that want to talk to you, Jeremy, when they meet you and recognize you?
Well, I think the relationship is very good and has always remained, you know, a lot of laughs and giggles. These people come to see the show, to come and see it and get an autograph, and they say, hi, Mr. Bullock, you know, really great to see you. Thanks so much for being. And they're also very polite, you know. They don't sort of go, this is ridiculous. What's happening? I can't even get near my favorite actor or favorite lady actress. They're very polite, and that's what I like about it.
People sure love Boba Fett, even though you have just a few minutes on screen. What is it about that character that you think has captured the imagination all these decades later?
I think it's a lovable rogue, if you put it like that. He's not nasty. He's not violent. He's just a lovable rogue. He knows that he can destroy anybody he wants, but he keeps it nice and gentle and... That's why he lives longer.
I think that's why I relate to him.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like a lovable rogue.
Are you?
Yeah, I could kill you at any moment, but I choose not to.
Is it a lovable roguess?
I believe be a roguess. Very nice.
Boba Fett has an English degree.
Oh.
All right.
Who knew? Nice backstory. We didn't know.
Well, speaking of backstories, what do you know about this Boba Fett standalone film, and will you be involved in any way?
No, I've heard a lot about it, standalone. It makes me laugh that that term, a standalone movie. It means that no one else is in it.
Well, I think the other people might be, like Han Solo and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You would just star. It would be more of your story, I think, is what people would.
No, I think the character is, I mean, it's going to be great that he's involved again somewhere, the standalone film. So I look forward to seeing that when it's all finished and done.
My last question for you, Mr. Bullock, and that is, I know that you came back to work on one of the prequels. You were in Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith as a different character. Were you stunned at that time when the Star Wars movies, when prequels were made, when all those years after you thought the franchise had been put to bed, it roared back to life?
Yeah. No, I was completely stunned by the whole thing, but I was asked to play this part of Captain Colton. They just got a name for him, and I was standing up there again. I thought, how nice. It was like a serial. Each week you might come back as somebody else. And that was nice for them to invite me back just to, again, playing a small scene. But that's what it was, you know, doing it. If they asked you to do something, and you'd always say yes because it was such a memorable time.
Well, I think it's so interesting in the film, Elm Street 1976, the documentary that Mr. Bullock appears in, that at some point someone says that a quarter of the people on planet Earth have seen the original Star Wars franchise, and that means that everyone in the world knows Boba Fett and will cherish those movies, and they'll live on long after all of us are gone. Jeremy, you are a part of film history, my friend.
Well, thank you very much indeed. And you're next.
Oh, well, that took a turn.
Thank you, Jeremy. All the best to you, sir.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.
That's over. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:54.
Let it breathe, man. It's our motto.
Hey, I think I'm with Ralph that I haven't heard that moment with enough
today. Well, we're just talking to Boba Fett, right?
Right. It's Star Wars Day. I think it's appropriate.
But I don't...
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
There's a documentary about some of the people, not behind the scenes, but sort of the secondary, not even secondary, third, fourth, fifth level, I don't know.
You want another run at that?
No.
Okay.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
No, I'm happy with that.
Okay.
Another run at that means another moment with, so I'm just going to cut my losses.
I'm glad we didn't let Kevin say much to Jeremy. That could have gone terribly wrong.
Yeah, how dare you.
Those questions. Hey, what about Chris Martin, you guys?
Right.
Coldplay? What about him?
Coming in just after 9.
Is there a bigger band with a nicer guy at the helm?
Maybe Foo Fighters would be in the conversation.
Maybe you too. Bono's a pretty good dude.
Pretty good dude, yeah. But they're right up there.
What's that?
That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. Everybody else.
Limp Bizkit, obviously.
Limp Bizkit, obviously.
And the Flobots.
Right. Can't deny the Flobots' power.
Anyway, return of our friend Chris Martin coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on K-Rock. Wednesday morning? What's going on there?
Hey, Kev, what's happening
all
over
good?
There?
You
no,
okay?
It's not all good. We
Y'all
just want to
take another run at it?
What's happening,
we
Lammy?
We heard a big interrupting sound blast there.
I didn't hear that. I don't know what you're talking about.
We all
about.
Heard it, and it's not all good. So we're just wondering, what are you doing over there?
It's possible I hit the wrong button.
So that one's on you, you're saying?
I'll take responsibility for that.
Oh, okay.
That's on me. My bad.
Hey, Demi Lovato wants to say, sorry, white guys. You suck in bed. That seems a little racist to me.
What's this about?
It's a little racist.
That's what it means. Hey, how could she say that?
I'm very proud of my prowess.
Demi Lovato.
She's on the cover of the new issue of Latina magazine. You guys get Latina, don't you? Subscribe to Latina?
Of course.
Yeah. And she says her boyfriend, Wilder Valderrama, is better than bed than pale white dudes. Here's her quote. When I dated white guys, it wasn't as passionate as my relationship with Wilmer. I do believe that Latin people are just more expressive, more passionate with their emotions. Wilmer is very manly. He can be stubborn like Latino men can, but he's protective and he cares so much and loves so hard.
Oh, that's racist.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know it's very hard for anybody who's white to ever claim racism about anything, but if she's lumping all white guys into the bad lovers category, isn't that a little racist?
I've had great sexy times with white dudes.
All right.
Doesn't mean anything if you haven't done it with Pez, because once you do it with Pez, that makes you forget about all the white dudes.
But here's the thing. Can it be that Pez maybe is just a hot lover, and it's not necessarily all Latin men? It just might be
Pez. I feel
Pez.
Like he's had a lot of practice, too.
That's what I'm saying.
So.
Yeah.
I think she's right.
Really?
Kevin loves Latin men.
In general, they're the best.
True. That's racist.
Yes, I'm just saying.
I mean, I'll take a Puerto Rican. What?
Can we get one for Allie during the break? Amber Rose. Amber Rose. Amber Rose. She is going to be the latest late night talk show host.
Nope.
Come yeah. on.
You heard me.
Did you say nope. late night and talk show
you
host?
You heard me.
But on the internet in a channel that's easily not watched, right?
I don't know. Does anybody watch VH1?
Oh, my God.
You
really?
You are kidding.
Really?
Yeah. VH1 is bringing Amber Rose to late night. Oh, this is my favorite part. They promise that she's going to... Any guesses? Anyone want to fill in the blank?
She's going to revolutionize late night.
Redefine late night. Very close, Kevin. You get partial credit. My favorite thing is when anyone in television announces they're going to reinvent or redefine or revolutionize anything on television.
That other people are doing really well right now.
Yes. She's going to, another quote, break all the rules. Mm. And Amber says, Jimmy Fallon better look out.
Look, I'm all for women in late night. I'm all for people of color in late night. I'm just not into watching Amber Rose do anything.
Are you for bald ladies in late night?
She's redefining TV, Bean.
Oh, right, I forgot.
She does shave her head. I think she's super hot, by the way.
She's a beautiful, beautiful woman.
I got a thing for Amber Rose. I'm not sure if I want to watch her late night talk show.
Is it maybe once a week?
I believe it will be a weekly program, yes. Okay. Not a nightly program, but a weekly program.
Sure.
VH1 says she's the ideal host because she's a devoted mother, a strong advocate for women's rights, and a celebrated author.
What?
Do you remember? Remember when she wrote Pride and Prejudice?
I don't think that was her.
That was her. Open
really?
Up a blog.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Has she written something?
I guess. Someone celebrated her for it at some point. VH1 wouldn't lie to us, would they?
No, don't be ridiculous.
Right.
Says she is a model, actress, and fashion designer on Wikipedia.
Everybody is everything all the time now.
Yeah.
In the day of social media hype, everyone apparently is wildly successful at multiple careers.
But only Donald Trump really is.
That's right.
I really only know her for the men that she's dated.
And the pictures of her.
Yeah.
Did you mention who's producing this talk show?
I didn't have that in my story, Allie. Please do tell.
Dr. Phil.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And I'm out.
Well, now it's the perfect collaboration.
What could be better?
Two bald people working together.
You got a problem, lady.
I hope that's what they named the show.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Ashley Rickards, Jenna from Awkward's 24 years old. Lance Bass is 37 years old. Erin Andrews, sportscaster, is 38. Is anyone else annoyed by her the way I am?
Yeah.
She's got like a Midwest twang to her voice. Like, so they're on the field and they're really worried about the next half, whether they can score enough points or not. I'm like, hey, nails meet chalkboard.
I'm with Kevin. She does not bother me.
She bugs.
It sounds racist.
She's not Joe Buck awful, but she's bad.
Joe Buck also doesn't bother
worst.
I like
worst.
Joe Buck.
Troy. Back into that again. Troy, how are these guys going to come out after the half? What did the coach tell them in the locker room? Other than lay down and die, right, Troy?
Look, it's possible that I am not discriminating when it comes to sports people.
Apparently not.
I also like Bob Costas.
Oh, see?
Yeah, see, he bugs.
You don't know.
Why do you hate everybody in the booth?
I love most people in the booth. There's like, Costas is a pompous douche.
Oh, he absolutely is, but he's not Joe Buck.
He's not Joe Buck fan, that's true. Buck is maybe the barometer of bad in sports broadcasting.
I like Joe Buck, and I like your impression of Joe Buck.
I love the impression.
Well, Kevin, as people come out and they say they like me, I got to say, Troy, what's that all about? Poor. It makes me feel bad for Troy Aikman. I didn't think anything could ever make me feel bad for a Dallas Cowboy quarterback, but Joe Buck does.
Ugh. It's impressive.
Will Arnett's 46 years old. Mike Dirnt of Green Day is 44. And surf guitar legend Dick Dale. You want to put on your baggies and hit the beach, doesn't it? Come on! Come on, all you ho-dads and Grammys.
What does
Let's
that
grab
mean?
Our sticks and head down to the glassy sets. Hop in the Woody.
I don't know.
What's a hodad and a Grammy?
Those are 60s surfer terms.
Oh, like a grommet?
Like a grommet?
Like a grom. A surf kid, like a grom.
No, a Grammy.
No.
A Grammy.
No.
It sounds racist.
It's not racist at all. Grammys and hodads were like squares, like stiffs, like people who aren't with it.
Hodads?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to refresh my memory because apparently I don't give a crap.
Thank you, Mr. Marin.
Thank you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Basically, be my life in a minute.
He was so young, you guys. I can't believe we lost another one. He was a great artist.
He's
and
not
a good man.
He's here. Bean.
Had Chris Martin a lot on the Kevin and Bean show.
He's actually here
and
now.
I'm really going to miss. What?
Yeah, he's here now.
Oh, I thought that was the retrospective we were doing. Oh, hey, Chris Martin. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm alive and so
yes,
happy.
You are alive.
Now, you took your headphones off for most of that intro. That was sort of odd. Do you not
No,
like
no,
it?
Not at all. It's so trippy to have your entire career summed up in less than 25
it wasn't
seconds.
Summed up. It was just a little taste.
It was all our best bits.
Yeah.
So it's good to know that after all this time, we've made at least 25 seconds of passable music.
It was, as your people say, a primer for your appearance on the program. That's
you say
all
primer?
Doing.
I thought we said primer.
Well, I thought we said primer and you say primer. I was trying to speak your language, Chris.
Well, how does the song go? You say whatever.
Right, exactly. Well, welcome in. How
Thank
are you
guys. Thank
first
you, everybody. It's lovely to see you all.
Is it great being Chris Martin? Do you love being Chris Martin?
That's a lovely question. The truth is I'm so grateful to be alive and mm-hmm. I'm raring to go. And yeah.
The reason I ask that is because obviously there are many blessings in your life.
Yeah.
But there's also when you're Chris Martin and you're in a band like Coldplay that is one of the most popular bands in the world, you're running an industry. And I imagine that you have a lot of people who have a lot of questions for you all the time. It's hard to get away. You have a million decisions to make. It seems like there's be a tremendous amount of work involved in being Chris Martin.
Thank you.
Well.
What an empathetic and lovely
Bean
question.
Bean can make anything sound terrible.
No,
that's
I'm just
talent.
Saying.
Who'd want to do it?
Oh,
oh my
sounds
gosh.
Awful.
But I mean, isn't there a lot of work involved in being you too?
And being you too, yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, that's real work.
Looking at you also.
Now, the truth is, I'm so grateful for my life, and I just love what we get to do. And I think, I don't know how you guys feel, but after you've been doing something a while, it makes you more and more grateful, I find. Mm-hmm. And right now we're going out on tour and just, you know, that's when the real payoff happens of all this interaction with people. And so it makes any bit that might have seemed vaguely challenging totally worthwhile.
So planning a tour is a lot of work, but when you're on stage in August at the Rose Bowl looking out at 90,000 of your fans, it's all going to be worth it.
Yeah, and the truth is, Ben, I don't really have to do much planning. So we have a whole team of amazing people who do all that stuff.
But then you come out and if you don't like something, you have them... Right? You
just absolutely. Yeah.
Kill?
I do exactly that with my hand across my throat. Like.
Saturday, August 20th and Sunday, August 21st is Coldplay at the Rose Bowl for two nights. There are just a few tickets left for both shows. You can go to Ticketmaster.
Seven tickets left. On
seven
the
tickets.
Night.
We are. Okay. That's the updated number.
That's
we were
why
just,
I'm here. We've got to ship those.
We've got to move those tickets.
Please, if you want to come, text me. The number is 310.
Don't do it.
Go to Ticketmaster.com to buy your tickets. Just ahead of your appearance, Chris, this morning, sitting down, we played your new single, which is called Up and Up.
Up and Up, yeah.
How was that chosen? Why did you decide that that's the next song you want to play?
Well, that's an interesting question because around the world right now we have different singles in different countries. So we just knew that we wanted certain songs off the album to be singles. And then we said to our label and everyone, just put them out in whatever order. So why was it chosen overall? It's because we're really proud of it. And it has, I think if any song of ours has a sort of credo or a philosophy behind the band, this one's probably it, Up and Up. But why did we choose it right now? I don't know. Just that's just what got chosen.
It's unusual for the last song on an album to be a single.
Yes, it is. Normally, last songs and albums never even get heard.
Right.
And, in fact, last weekend, I was in Santa Monica playing music with these kids.
I saw that. It was so cute.
Yeah, it was really cute.
Was it the Prince thing?
Yeah. So one of this really sweet boy, Jackson, who come through cancer 2 times, his friends last year organized this concert for him and got Chris from the Foo Fighters to come and play with him at the end. And so this year they needed another famous Chris. Chris Rock was not available. And so I went and sang with these kids, and they were really wonderful. And they learned a song off an album of ours called X and Y, which came out in 1973.
Well, maybe later than that.
Not
okay.
Quite 73.
And we've never even played that song. That's the last song on that album, which we love, but we just never got round to it. And they'd learned it perfectly, and so we played that, and we played Raspberry Beret, and it was just wonderful.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's so fun.
It was wonderful.
When you listen to an album, do you listen from the beginning to the end?
Especially if it's someone I really love. You know, if it's Beyonce or it's Radiohead or whoever, you know, or like right now I love this band called Beach House, so I'll listen, you know.
Mm-hmm. I get started, and then I get to a song that I just love, 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 and then I listen to that one 10,000 times.
Yes.
Before I move on.
A lot of times.
Is that
that's
bad?
That's a lot of times.
Yeah. It's a lot of times. I don't know. I just feel like I don't want to hear anything else except for that song for a while because I love it so much.
Yeah, well, that's totally okay. Don't feel bad.
All right.
Did you ever cross paths with Prince, Chris?
You know, I didn't. I didn't, is the answer. I don't have anything to say about that. He's just one of those people that I stayed a fan of the whole time.
Of course, yeah.
Like Bob Dylan. Some people I haven't met, and that's totally okay. I mean, obviously, I have friends who were friends with him or worked with him, and I feel the same as everyone else. I just feel sad and grateful for his life.
It was so shocking, and you two are on you also are on a short list with Prince as among the most popular of all Super Bowl halftime performances. You know, he had it back in 2007, I think, in the pouring rain. Yeah. We haven't talked to you since you did the Super Bowl this year.
I think we talked, like, when, last October or something?
I think, yeah, when the album came out, right. Yeah.
In my diary, it said... Went to K-Rock today. Those guys are really lovely.
We actually have to take a quick break.
Don't go back.
Press pause on this because I do want to find out what it's like for the person who's in the middle of that tornado that is
wonderful.
A Super Bowl
I'd love
halftime
to talk to you
show.
About it.
Yeah,
okay.
That'll be fun. Chris Martin is our guest, by the way. Again, we just played their new song, Up and Up. You'll be hearing it a lot here on K-Rock from their current album. The Head Full of Dreams tour kicks off later this month in Nice, France. You can see them at the Rose Bowl in August.
It already kicked off.
Yeah, it's in South America, right? Yeah. They're in South America right now.
Oh, okay.
That's what he meant.
Gotcha. Ticketmaster.com to buy your tickets to see the band at the Rose Bowl. More with Chris right after this on K-Rock. The band Coldplay is playing the Rose Bowl in August. Ticketmaster.com. A few tickets left for the weekend of
August.
There's
now three left.
Three.
I just got a text.
So we sold 2 pair. We moved 2 pair.
Well, wow. my mom called and asked for 2.
Okay, good.
And then the other 2 have gone officially, apparently.
Okay.
We are stacking them deep and selling them cheap here this morning on the Kevin Abid Show. That's the voice of our friend Chris Martin from the band Coldplay in studio here on the Kevin Abid Show. When we had to break, I had brought up... You've done the Super Bowl since last time we were here. And it was a triumph. I mean, it had to have gone I can't imagine it could have gone any better than you guys. I mean, everybody was raving about it. But what was it like for you on the inside, being that man on the stage looking out at that?
Okay, well, I'll try and keep it brief. It was so intense. Someone just asked me that this morning, actually. It was so intense on every level and wonderful. And I think it'll take me a while to sort of process it all. But ultimately, if we had to do it again, we would probably do the same thing. It was challenging because it was daytime and it was the 50th year. But ultimately, we made the decision to not make it about Coldplay, but to make it about how we feel about the world and music. And so we invited our friends along to come and do their bit. You know, we tried to share it and we tried to... I felt like in the lead up to that, the world, the media, everything seemed kind of a bit negative about the state of the world. So we wanted to come out and... say something positive and
just bring a blast of joy.
That's what we tried to do, and I was just so grateful that we got given that chance, you know.
Well, the thing that I always think about it is just logistically how many people are involved and how many things can go wrong. I mean, not the least of which is there's no stage where you are performing 10 minutes before. They build the thing and then you come out and perform on it with no rehearsal that day, you know, and that alone has to be challenging.
It reminds me of when you're like in the gym and someone knocks on the wall and say, hey, we booked this. it's our turn now. Because every time we'd rehearse, you'd get like 18 guys, you know, 8 feet tall, saying, actually, we've booked the pitch. You've got to move that stage. You know? So yeah, they but there's this army of amazing people, and it's just wonderful to watch it all work.
What is left for Coldplay to do? I mean, when you know, you're doing Glastonbury again, you did the Super Bowl, you're playing stadiums now. As a band, what can you do that you haven't done before yet?
I think we're going to run for president, you know?
Well, got my vote.
I'm not sure you're allowed. Chris.
Oh, yeah.
You're not really
there's
allowed.
There's that little thing. No, what's left is really to... we're just living right in the moment. We have this tour, which will probably go for another 18 months or so. And
does that sound like a long time to you?
No. It sounds like, the truth is, I've never loved it so much as now. Because we've made 7 albums. We don't feel in a hurry to do it. Who knows if we'll ever do another album.
Don't say that, Chris. Don't be that guy.
Because life, you know, who knows what's going to happen. So we're having so much fun at the moment with just playing and being together. And we have a set list that we really feel good about. If you like Coldplay, it's great. You know what I mean?
You seem truly grateful, and you're so at peace. Is this a newer thing for you, or
I think it's more recent? Yeah, it's taken a lot of time and work to get that way. Because I don't want to. I'm sure you got to cut the commercial.
No, we don't.
This is your time, Chris.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's just come about. I think in the last few years of just appreciating things and not worrying so much. Mm-hmm. It's funny, I was speaking to someone yesterday whose boyfriend is on their first or second album, and he was getting down about social media and stuff. And if you want to, you can always find a reason to get down. You know, there's always someone who won't like your music or won't like your show or whatever, but I found that I was getting a bit bogged down by that a few years ago, so I decided to just let that go and appreciate the people that do show up and do want to hear our music, and that just makes me happy.
Chris, not only on the air, but off the air, we would bring up different topics, and you're the most positive person in the room.
I mean, you figured out a way to be happy about Donald Trump. I mean, it's remarkable.
And the rest of you have been up since 4. Yeah.
So, that's a good point.
It's not hard.
Is it a tough transformation? Do you find yourself naturally getting stressed, and then you have to say, no, I'm not going to feel that way. I'm going to be positive.
Or crappy, as we might prefer to say on the radio.
I'm so sorry.
No worries.
So it's just... If you find that there's certain people that have written things about how you deal with those emotions, and partly you deal with it by an outlet like music, and other times it's like saying, okay, I feel this way, and that's okay. There's no...
Is it too personal a question to ask if you see a therapist, or if you ever have?
I have a teacher. I go and see people who seem like they have it figured out. You know? One is a guy who's into Sufism, which is like a bit like Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And, I just have some teachers. I always thought when I was 21, like, oh, I've finished learning now.
Right.
You know, you come out of college. And now I realize that's really not the case. You can always find people with a great new perspective or... I'm talking way too much. I'm sorry.
No, not at all.
We're fascinated. Let me ask
you. You're also the only guest on the show right now,
okay.
So it's cool.
All right.
We want you to talk.
Let me ask you about this, Chris, because you've evolved a lot since you were 21 years old, and you've seen a lot, you've done a lot, you've lived a lot, as have your bandmates.
Yeah.
How have you guys managed to stay so cohesive and together and not just friendly, but to the point where you're enjoying yourselves more than you ever have before? Because that's not always the case with groups that are together as long as yours has been.
Well, the truth is, I think, being that if you – honestly, if you want the real answer, is if you share money and credit.
That's the real answer.
Yeah. That's the real answer, I think, with a band, because that's where trouble comes in.
That's
as far as we can tell, in terms of our friends who are in other bands or the bands we look up to, you know, we were just talking about Radiohead before.
Right.
And U2.
I think U2 does the same thing.
Yeah, they
right?
share. Yeah. They share because a band, it's like you guys, there's chemistry that you can't really put a price on. And that's what makes you great.
So you made a, going back to that word conscious, you made a conscious decision to avoid the pitfalls that happened to so many other bands early on by saying, we are going to share money and we are going to share credit and we are a team. And you think that's going to help you stay together longer. And so far it has.
Did you guys ever see Westway to the World, the film about the Clash?
Mm-mm.
You know, the
Did
band
not.
The Clash?
No. Mm-hmm.
So in that film, Joe Strummer, this was retrospectively, he said, he was talking about their breakup. He said, I wish we'd just taken 6 months off and... So we have the benefit of seeing all these other bands tell us where they would have changed something. And often it's to do with money and credit, and then sometimes having a rest when you need to have a break from each other or let your audience have a rest. You know,
we had a conversation a few months ago and came to the conclusion that U2 is the band that has been together longer than any other band on earth with its original members.
Yeah.
And that's amazing when you think about it. I mean, they started in the freaking mid-70s, and they're still going with the same four guys.
And Green Day's been around a lot with that lineup. And
yeah, absolutely. This is Chris Martin on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I should have mentioned this earlier, but we have tens of thousands of people watching us on Facebook Live right now through the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. We're hearing from Chris. You'll be happy to know they're watching you in Leeds right now, in Manchester.
Great.
Manila. Home. Morocco, Buenos Aires, Vietnam, Poland. I'm not joking about any of these places, by the way. In Stockholm, Belgium, all over the world. And Bakersfield, of course. Shout out to Bakersfield. All over the world, people are watching Chris Martin here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Your friend Beyonce.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Lemonade?
I love Lemonade.
Wasn't it great?
It is great. It still is great.
Yes, it still is great.
That's what he meant.
Last week it was great.
And isn't it still?
It's wonderful. I'm going to be honest and say I had the chance to hear it a while ago.
Oh, did you? Was, okay.
And that song, Sorry, which I think is track 3 or 4.
I love it.
It's my favorite Beyonce song of all time.
Could be a country hit, couldn't it?
Could it? I don't know enough
about
it.
I feel like that's true of any great song.
Yeah, that's
I feel
true.
Like any great song could be done as country, could be done as light rock, could be done
Let's think of an example.
Rap.
Give us a song.
Give us a song.
Fix You would easily
work as a country song.
Yeah.
Easily.
There you go.
I don't know about rap, but country.
I just tuned in as a Beyonce fan, but I wondered what it's like for you, Chris, as someone who is in the same lane as an artist like Beyonce, somebody who writes and produces videos and music and does tours and the same sorts of things she does.
Well, we're not in the same lane. She's in the slightly different lane.
Right, but you have the same...
I don't want to pretend that we're trying to compete with Beyonce. We don't want to compete with anybody.
No, but you have...
She's in the fast lane.
It's not a competition for a start.
No, but you have a similar job to her. Like, I'm not ever going to compete with Beyonce, but you do the same sorts of things that Beyonce does for a living, and I'm just wondering if you are still in awe of what she does as a fan in addition to just as a musician.
Well, going back to the Super Bowl, there was a reason why we asked her, you know, because I was like, well, what can't we do? And let's ask the best person in the world to come and do that. And she did that times 10. And then she had this whole amazing message. And it was just awesome. And I don't see music as a competition, first of all. But she's so clearly just on the next level in terms of being a performer and entertainer. And, you know, I'd always watch her in awe. And it's inspiring. And
Are you ever jealous where you go, it just seems like it's so much easier for her than it is for most people?
No, because it isn't. She works so hard. She's got a God-given talent like you wouldn't believe, but she works like you wouldn't believe either.
I want to be friends with Beyonce too, Chris. How can I do it?
I'll ask her what time she's free.
This was all leading up to him asking me how to introduce
Where do you want to meet? Starbucks?
How could we make that happen?
3:35.
So. So quick.
Yeah. That's how it works in our world.
Oh, yeah. In the fast lane, that's how it works.
That was pretty cool.
Just make play dates.
That's the way to do it.
What else do you want to say, Chris, about the Head Full of Dreams tour? You said that you love the set. You guys are having fun doing it. What can folks expect when they come to the Rose Bowl?
If you like Coldplay, then
it's a good show?
If you like Coldplay, it's a great show.
Okay.
That's a hot take. I'm really going out on a limb.
No, because what's the point of, you know, if you much prefer someone else, then don't worry about it. We don't mind.
Okay.
It's okay.
I will say this, though. I will say that if you just like Coldplay, but then you see Coldplay live,
it's a whole other
you will
level.
Love Coldplay.
Oh, it might take
and you can't say that about every band.
It might take you from like a 4 to a 7.
No, maybe. I'm saying. There's
that positivity we advertised.
You're so much better live and very few bands. Most bands are trying to sound as good as they did in the studio.
But you're so much better. Oh, thank you very much.
It's meant to be a compliment. I'm not sure it came out that way. But
it came out as a semi-compliment, and I'll take it.
It was supposed to be full-on.
Well, thank you. And we have these... the great thing that really changed our show in the last few years is that this... Have I got time to tell this story?
Sure. Yes.
This guy that used to make sex toys...
I'm sorry, we're out of time, Chris.
Wait, we have all the time in the world. Go on, Chris.
Hold on.
I'm listening.
This guy who used to make sex toys vibrate... He was watching us play Glastonbury 10 years ago, and he had a vision that he thought it'd be cool if everyone in the audience had an LED thing on their wrist. And he's an inventor of small toys.
Right.
So he designed this thing, and he got in touch with Phil our sort of creative boss and my best friend. Well, we're all best friends, but you know what I mean. And he's crazy, this guy. He's like an inventor from the countryside in England. But Phil, being a very smart guy, said, okay, come and meet us. And to cut a long story short, now we have these wristbands that light up in our show. And now they're about to do more stuff. And it kind of brings the whole audience together.
What kind of things will they do?
Well, now they make a little noise. And
do they vibrate?
It depends I don't know. Where else
yet. Sorry, what?
But, I'm pretty sure you don't want to say
but
that.
But that's been a real revelation for us because we're always trying to make the audience part of the concert too. And
I feel like that would be more difficult the bigger you go.
Yeah, it's difficult and it's expensive, but it's worth it. Hmm. So that's what we spend most of our money on.
Are you doing any cover songs at all on this tour?
Yes, we're doing. Recently, we've been playing Heroes.
Okay.
David Bowie.
Nice.
And
F the Police. Are you doing that one?
We should be doing F the Police.
I mean,
would that be hilarious?
That would be the best.
Hey, Duran did White Lines. I mean, weirder things have happened.
Wait, one time we did Fight for Your Right.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yes, you did that at the Hollywood Bowl show. We played that a bunch
on
K-Rock.
Wow, that's good knowledge. Yeah. That's
that was great.
That's impressive.
It's very fun.
We'll try anything.
All right.
I like it.
Now we really are out of time, Chris.
Okay, that's fine. I got to go too, so.
Yeah, so you're busy.
It's right? Both of us.
You don't even want to stay anymore.
I couldn't have stayed anyway.
Chris, you mentioned when you sat down, it might have been off the air, that we have been talking to you since the beginning, right when the first record came out. And I want you to know sincerely, we're always genuinely excited when we see that you've got time to squeeze in. We love catching up with you.
Yeah,
we're so happy for you and your success, and we love your band. And just keep doing what you're doing, Chris.
K-Rock changed my life, man.
Thank you, man. Great to see you.
See you later.
Take care, Chris.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:46.
Allie, remember Chris Martin times?
I do. Those were fun times.
Those were fun times. I miss those times.
He smells like mint, and he's just so positive.
Ralph's positive, I feel like. What? I feel like Ralph's positive.
Ralph is all about love. Like you guys know that.
Smells like mint, she said.
It's just minty.
Okay.
Girls time for our final look at the Shamrock Shake. Seriously, she goes nuts.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat her.
Why do you pretend like I'm not talking? Why do you just keep going when I have something to say?
Okay, go on. Let's hear your milkshake chunk.
Oh my God, you're the worst.
Let's hear it. Go ahead. Wow me. Seriously, slay me. Drop it on me right now. Your hilarious milkshake chunk.
Go asshole.
Time for the showbiz beat
right now.
That it being a safe or a piano, I'd like to drop it on him. Wouldn't that be funny? It was like a cartoon thing, and then Bean comes out of the piano like, and he smiles, and then all they're just piano keys where his teeth should be. That'd be awesome. Why can't things be like in a cartoon?
Cartoon death?
Yeah. Let me give you something, people, now, because you're nice. What's a better Saturday than being out in the fresh air, drinking beers, gambling, listening to music? All those things combined.
What could be better than that?
What could be better than that?
Right. Nothing.
Nothing, exactly. So why don't you do it this Saturday? It's happening at the Santa Anita Racetrack, K-Rock Brewfest.
Yeah! That's hot!
More than 40 local breweries will be represented, so you get to taste all the local brews, get to gamble on the horse races, get to listen to a concert, hanging out with your friends. It all happens Saturday, 11 a.m. is when the infield opens. First race starts at noon. And you'll also see some folks from this very station. K-Rock, Stryker's going to be there. Omar, Dave, the King of Mexico.
What's up?
Beer mug. Nothing, huh?
Nope. Just
lightning. Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay. Super Steve.
Chip started just writing down stuff over there. I think she's given up on the show.
Chip.
I'm pretty sure.
And Miss Double December herself, Mallory, will be there. So come on out.
Yes, what a show.
Have a good time. And let me give you a little incentive. Right now, let's say caller number 21, because you have to be 21 years of age or older to attend this event. Caller number 21, a four-pack of VIP backstage tickets to K-Rock's Brewfest. This is going to be quite the event. Why don't you call now? 1-800-520-1067. You get a beer garden and concert admission, of course, two drink tickets, a racing program, a tip sheet to help you bet on the ponies, VIP backstage access, and, of course, VIP wagering area as well. All happening Saturday at the K-Rock Brew Fest. Well, now we're hearing again.
Turn up indeed.
From the other side of the Blink-182 controversy. You remember Tom DeLonge came forward and said to Rolling Stone magazine, I never really left the band. I'm still in the band.
Yeah.
We're still together. I'm still in the band. I've just met with the band members to discuss working in the future. And there's more Blink music to make. It's just everything.
Seemed
odd. Well, it is odd.
Oh.
Because Mark Hoppus now has come forward to say, not only didn't he recently meet with Tom regarding music and the future of Blink-182, I haven't spoken to Tom in a year and a half, he says.
Hmm.
So he's not really sure what he was talking about.
I think I'm more inclined to believe the one who's not crazy.
So, doesn't look like there's going to be any rapprochement, if you will, between the members of
what
Blink
if I won't
anytime soon.
Rapprochement.
What is that?
That's French, Alan.
For
a coming together.
Rapprochement.
Rapprochement, if you will.
Oh. Cool.
Well, you've got it down. It sounds
just like
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like it.
The accoutrement that you will need.
Accoutrement.
Rapprochement. What is that?
Is that Winnebago Man?
It is Winnebago Man.
I miss him so much.
Rest in peace, Winnebago Man. Folks are asking Disney to come up with a gay character or two or three in their upcoming Disney films. Numerous fans have taken to Twitter to kind of suggest to Disney perhaps they should introduce some gay characters into their popular animated kids films. The new hashtag is hashtag give Elsa a girlfriend. And they're hoping that Elsa will have a female love interest in the upcoming Frozen sequel.
That's not just from creepy guys who are into anime, is it?
You tell me. You're probably at all the meetings. I'm guessing not.
Did you vote on this, Bean?
I'm guessing. I'm guessing it's... Was it Bean? People from the LGBT community would like to see some gay, lesbian, transgender, or bisexual characters in Disney films. Now, at first blush, people may say, wait, this is for kids. That seems awkward. That seems odd. That seems weird. I don't think, really, it's any odder than a heterosexual love coupling being played out in kids' films.
I mean, it would be more accurately representative of the world in which these children live.
Right.
Certainly.
Maybe Elsa, you know, she meets a hot chick. Warm up a little bit, you know? Frosty Elsa. Little fern. Right?
Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah, that's it.
Nope.
Let it go.
No.
Come on, I'm just saying let it go.
No, sir.
Let it go. Let it go.
No, sir. No.
Is it butt stuff?
Oh. No. Come on, we're talking about
that. Why is it always butt stuff, Allie?
It's always butt stuff, Bean. You know that. Of all people.
And Michael Fassbender, he's got a new gig. He's so good.
Yeah.
So good. I was so impressed by his work as Steve Jobs in the movie of the same name. He was terrific.
He's got those looks.
He's also, and that too.
Oh, my God.
He's got that too, by the way.
Let it go. Let it go.
He has got a new interesting gig where he's playing an Austrian journalist and best-selling author who led a double life. This is a true story about a reporter, an Austrian reporter, who was investigating murders by day, and killing by night. A serial killer whose day job was to investigate and do stories about murder and crime.
Love it.
Fascinating.
Very, very Dexter-esque.
In the movie, it'll be called Entering Hades, and it's based on the novel of the same name by a guy named John Leake, but apparently it's a fascinating story, and it looks like Mike Fassbender will be the titular character that's Entering Hades. No, that's very different.
Oh.
I rented Entering Hades once. Hades was not happy about it.
Nope.
Today, I'm just totally psyched. What's going on with that?
Okay.
Right?
You could be psyched later. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ashley Rickards, Jenna from Awkward, is 24 years old today. Singer and TV host Lance Bass turns 37. Aaron Andrews, sportscaster, 38 years old. Mike Dirnt of Green Day is 44. Will Arnett, soon to be heard as Batman in the upcoming Lego Batman movie. Can't wait for that. 46 years old. And surf guitar legend Dick Dale. The lightning fast fingers behind Miser Lou and other classic surf songs. He is 79 years old today. Still performing, by the way. Sounds great. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour.
pretty cool. No commercials for a full hour. Random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, new music from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. From the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We're also going to talk to Anthony Kiedis about the new music. We have Jim Rome. We have Dr. Drew. We have a brand new internet roundup. And we've got your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016.